We'll call the Hamburg City Council meeting to order. Everybody please rise. Okay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, all. I don't know if the fire department members are here for the fire department part or for other issues in town here. If it's something other than section number 9, which would deal with our city council member roles, data practice and such, you're sure welcome to stay for that. Otherwise, just proceed as normal. You know, until we get to that point. Okay. Anybody on the public comment other than Bradley?
September 26th, we're having a fundraiser for Charlie Rademacher, one of the fire supporters in the fire group. He's from 3 until 10. Going to be a meal, live auction, silent auction, music. Just had our second meeting last Thursday. Decided to have it here in town. I'm just wondering if we could get the hall at a reduced or free day.
And this is like a benefit, Brad?
Yes.
Guess I haven't heard that much of what's going on.
Charlie was one of our explorers at Easter morning about 6 o'clock, got in a rollover accident. He was to the point of possibly not even making it, and now he's made a recovery, so he's out walking. He's got a long road to go, but
we've done it for other. Benefits to help people with accidents or medical or whatever. What's the council wishes?
That gentleman was injured here about a year or so ago, and when he came here and asked to use the hall, did we do that on a discounted basis or was that a gratis basis? Do you remember?
No charge.
Okay. I guess my feeling is that would be appropriate, and so we keep it consistent.
Yes.
And I'd make that into a motion.
Is there a second?
Any other questions?
Council? Okay. No. Okay. Anyone else for a public comment other than for the city that will be coming up? Otherwise, we'll move on. The agenda review. If there's any items to add, delete, whatever.
I have one item. I called you about the water. Is that for public
comment
or go on the agenda or when does it go?
Public comment. It has to be.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to look great.
I guess I'm unaware of it, so.
Right, he called me. I might as well. You got a couple minutes.
Now?
Yep, do it now.
Now's as good as anything. This is what is coming on a number of occasions, and I've called. That's what we're getting out of the tap. And it comes at particular times. It seems like if there's a special occasion on a weekend when there's plus the fire trucks, if they're filling tankers or whatever, I don't care. That's great that they fill tankers out of here or whatever. But that's not the issue. The issue is it something that can be taken care of because we're on the end of the line or whatever. But if they ever fill water trucks or tankers, it seems then when we run water, that's what we get.
We must be stirring something up.
I don't care who's using the water. That's not my point. So I don't want to start grinding axes with who uses water, who gets water.
Any neighbor.
My point is, when water gets used to fill tank trucks or something like that, then when we draw water, that's what we're pulling.
How long does it take to fill up?
Well, I don't know. We ran it the other morning for coffee at about 5:30 in the morning, and Carrie says, look what we got again. I said, that gasket? I said, I don't know. I said, what to do? So we ran a sink for the kitchen sink, the water, and we ran a sink in the washroom and the bathroom for a couple minutes, and it seems to clear up. But I sure as heck don't want to have to, every time that I want to use the water, first check that it's pure enough to drink, and then have to run water in the house to be able to use the water.
How long has that been happening? I mean, years or months? Or
years.
Years, okay.
Yeah.
Neighbors have it.
Jazer, I know Jazer has had it in the past too. You know, Mike Faye across the road. I don't know if Elvira, I haven't done any seeking around. I questioned that it would be, somebody once said, well, it might be your line, Beezer. And I said, I don't believe that to be the fact, because when they redid this road out here, County Road 50, then they put a new line in from the main to the curb stop for us. So it's not any old line that we're drawing off of. And so there's new line from the curb stop to our line. And then we had an issue once, so we had a new water line into the house. So I just can't believe it's any kind of an old black line or anything like that that we're getting it from. And then if that were the case, I would question why we didn't have it more frequently. It's more so the case on certain situations when all of a sudden we get it. And like I said, I don't care what the water is ever used for. I just don't care to have it in the house, and it's ruined to the point that, you know, inside it scales up the shower. All of a sudden you kick in the shower and the first water's like that. Or in your coffee maker, if you don't check and you run that water first, or you run your dishwasher or whatever.
Can I ask a favor? That is just,
you can.
When it happens, to call us. Even if nobody's in the office, just leave a message.
Okay.
So we can kind of have some kind of track record to see if we can tie it to some incident.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I don't know if when something gets flushed at that. One time they thought it was when they flushed the line, actually, that that's maybe what caused it. And I said, well, I don't know. They said something as to when they flush. I said, well, that would be your water engineer. I don't have any idea how it exactly works. I said, but if it gets flushed, and then the water back drafts into some end pipe, you know, because we're on a dead end, and then it gets pulled back in when it gets drawn in, I don't know what causes it. But I don't want to be calling anybody, really. I mean, I'll call the city, but I mean, I didn't know who to call the other morning, and I didn't call right away, and I thought, well, I'll give Dick a call and see if he wants to come for coffee, but he didn't.
I don't get coffee. And it was too early for any other beverage.
I could have put my internet, and we could have had something else too, I imagine. But so, I can't have none of them either right now.
So I guess like Jeremy asked, you know, when it does happen, so we kind of get a track record as to if there was, you know, water drawn in here, you know, to disturb something, or maybe some other questions we can ask.
And even just so I can run the water here, you know, if timing would be right, that when it happens, I can check the water here. I mean, it's just puzzling to me because we've never had it here, and that comes from the plant to, and then right to the distribution line right out here in 50. Mm-hmm. You know, and you just would think.
Last couple of weeks. We've been filling pools the last couple of weeks.
Well,
I was wondering if it's been the last couple of Mondays or Sundays.
Well, it has been this past weekend. I know the one truck was out, and then they were filling pools or whatever to take, you know. And then that was the water we got then in the morning, you know. And that's what I say, when they fill the tanker trucks. But, you know, there can be a fire, and if they're hauling lots of water, I don't necessarily notice it. But maybe if it's just once in a while, I don't have the answer.
Well, I guess we'll monitor.
I just wondered if there was a solution we could come up
with. Well, let's see what we can find.
Okay, I appreciate it.
Thank all right, you. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah.
Maybe you want to test. Like I know last time they tested it, and there was nothing harmful in it. That wasn't an issue at all. There was nothing that was bad in the water. It was just that.
I wonder, let's see what we can find out.
Not good. Looking at
that.
No. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Anything else? Otherwise we'll go to the agenda review now. Anything that has to be added?
Yeah, Mayor and Council, just want to point out, I provided a new resolution number 2015-07. With the correct cost for the base bids. So please disregard the resolution in your packet. I will touch more on that when we get to the street project. These items can be added under the maintenance report for the three estimates from UTSI Construction, KS Construction, and Voss Construction for the hall roof repair for the flat roof at the community hall. There's an updated delinquency report. There's a letter in relation to the buffer strip payment special assessment notice from the county, which I will touch base on the claims list, and there's also an updated claims list.
Anything else?
I'd like to add into the consent agenda that we add the Charlie Rademacher September 26th free hall rental.
Okay.
Anything else, Council? Otherwise, I'd like to put a motion at the head of items.
So moved.
Second?
Sorry.
Motion made and seconded to adopt the agenda with the added items as stated. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. And we move on to the consent agenda. Any questions on any of the items? Add it in your packet to look it over.
We'll go through the December agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on. Hamburg Fire Department. Chief Bucking Team.
Good evening, everybody. I'd like to start out with the request for going to pay it on the call. We all got the request letter we sent. And if you guys have any thoughts or questions on that, or.
Well, there will be questions, I know, once they probably discuss it a little more.
You mean pay the call away and not pay it on time?
Well, that's what a pay per call is.
For call, right.
Paper.
That's what the call was paid on call.
So would that eliminate the actual retirement fund then afterwards, or do you get...
No. It had nothing to do with that.
Would add to it then?
Yes.
That would be an added expense.
And that's what they put in there with the two counties we serve on, and everyone else was down to that. Basically, with emailing others, seeing how they do it, it's set up. Everyone sets up different from town to town or department to department. It's really kind of open how they do it.
And it's just for calls, not for all
of them. Right. You set up different ways, and with other departments we talked to, they said per call is just easier to manage, easier to follow. Your future work and you go per call, the reports you have to send into the state, that's all on there already. So to track it is it's being tracked now. So.
I guess like you have some percentages in here as to how many calls to make during the year to qualify. than for the pension even?
Well, what it's written is just to get that money, it's not the pension.
Right, but which will affect the pension possibly too.
Could be however we set it up. So this is just a draft, what we're asking for.
Council, thoughts?
I know one of the things that that percentage of minimum percentage, and talking with some of the other groups in the area here, and that, and just how I would see it, just from an equitable standpoint, for those firefighters who do show up more often than others, is to have that percentage also equate to the pension. True. And it's not, I don't think it's fair for the firefighter that shows up 2 to 5 calls a year versus the one who shows up 30 to 40 calls a year and still gets the same pension.
Right.
So, I would like to see us consider that. And I don't have an issue with the pay for the call.
I mean, we can bring it back to us so we can see what we get.
Right, we're going to have to kind of define it a little bit, you know, more specific to the thing. And then, I guess, you know, I've talked to some surrounding towns, and there's been some questions as to, you know, the first ones are on the call, they leave, some come a little later, you know, and does that entitle... They show up, wait a bit, go home, and they get that same fee. Or are they required to wait till you're back? In other words, if it's wash holes or put stuff away or how to...
Well, that's how it is now. They wait till you're back or they call up and need help.
Well, sometimes with the cost, I'm just curious.
Yeah, we're usually out there, but yeah, they'll call before they leave and ask if they need anything. And some go right to the scene, so,
true.
I mean, if we're going to pay the ones that go to the scene and the ones that don't, it's, you know.
It's just so easy.
And the system you put into place, you can find loopholes.
Right. Those that can will.
Exactly.
And Justin, I'm correct in assuming that the Hamburg Fire Department members get virtually nothing for their training, their meetings, their...
Yeah, it's part of our pension, considering...
Well, no, but I mean, but they don't get anything until they retire.
Right.
So, I mean...
Well, until they turn 50, actually.
30, 10 years or something?
Yeah, 60% of 10 years, and it's sort of an equation up to 20 years, but you won't get that check until your 50th birthday.
And Hamburg is the only department in Carver County that doesn't... Get paid. But whatever the numbers are that, you know, you are comfortable with and your department's comfortable with, I certainly would support because I have confidence in you and your department. And I don't know what those numbers should be. You would know that better than me, but I think that, the day is long past when you and your members, don't get paid anything until they turn 50 years old.
You know, part of the retention or recruitment, it's for guys that, or not guys, firefighters that don't put in 10 years, you get nothing, so at least you get something this way.
Well, and I would think that's an incentive to join the department. I mean, if you're not going to be rich, obviously, but there's, you know, a pittance there.
Right, and I mean, nobody joins for money.
No, I understand
that.
But I mean, it shows that, you know, at least it's something that city shows we appreciate your efforts and your dedication.
And we're only asking for calls, and the rest are all getting trained in meetings too, so we're not, for now, we just want to get something in place.
Well, we've got some time yet, but that's what you brought up to our attention then. Now.
What are we asking to bring back to the department, just to put it towards the pension? That's really the only question, or?
Yeah, let's see. Is it in here, your percentages of level spending?
15.
15, is it?
Yep. And that is, there's really no, everyone's set up different. Smaller towns our size have percentages, they have all told me they don't enforce them just because they don't want to lose people. And I talked to someone in Norwood when they first got into it. They said they started at 15 and have gone up. They're 20 now and they might be looking to go up again. But like I said, that's also meetings and trainings and everything.
I guess, Justin, the other thing maybe to bring back to the fire department is, you know, we're sitting here mid-June, almost budget time again already. So 2016 pension, I suppose, I guess they'd bring that back to the fire department and see what...
Yeah, that's what we wanted to get this and see kind of where this was going to roll. If this was more preliminary tonight, then hopefully we should get something locked down by next month. I'm sure you guys, especially here in the area, would like to see something set as soon as we can.
Well, we can, you can take it back to your department and we'll discuss it here more also. Go from there.
There's nothing more on that. We moved to the J5 in the trailer. Lake Bronson was here last Friday, papered the J5, and filled out the paperwork for the bill of sale and picked it up Saturday, and that is gone now. I guess the question is what we're going to do with the trailer. How we want to go about.
I would think maybe to seal bids through the city.
I personally don't care. I don't think it's really your guys' equipment. So.
Could someone draft up just a quick description?
We got a lot of paperwork, yeah, okay. So I could get you the
little,
I think the original receipts in there.
I really can get something on the paper. Well, from there.
Okay. Damago, as you can bring up, there's been a lot of talk going around. Turns out what all happened with that was likely the alternator. I thought it was a generator after we followed the Damago guys. Well, this one's an alternator. What likely happened is that fried. The batteries were eventually drained down. So we thought the batteries were hooked up wrong, or the batteries were not hooked up wrong. We got new batteries in it, the new alternator came today, and with all that going on, there's a separate issue. The mechanic thought that the starter cracked as well. So it's kind of three different things that all happened. Hopefully for, $375 or so?
Yep, $375 for a rebuild.
So for the alternator, hopefully we have that back and running now tomorrow.
$375 was for?
We did a core swap all day. Military, Midwest Military, on Fire Lake. Called them $375 to have a rebuild.
Okay.
Basically a core turn.
So and then the alternator, whatever that was? And...
Yep. We were going to try having it rebuilt for someone else, and they couldn't get the parts, and then Jared was looking pretty hard and following this military place. And
it's annoying to get stuff like that. So tomorrow it'll be back in service?
Well, it's running. We can run it now. It's just going charging. It's been working the whole time if we need it. It just, we didn't have a way of charging.
Okay.
Got charging figured out.
Well, I guess that'll work, otherwise we don't need it.
There's nothing more than that. We just wanted to bring up XL Energy. Give us a donation for $250 towards the equipment. I think it was gear we're looking at. Trying to put that towards another set of gear. So Cheryl Swanson is still here from XL, so completely unrelated deal we were talking earlier, just ended up this way, but thank you to XL for that. estimates for the light switch. I think that was
the regular game. I think we've got two of them. Right. Right on that.
We'd like to thank you guys for getting the gutters put up. Last time it rained, it was kind of nice. There's also leaking in the door. Which isn't a problem now, but come winter, that'll be nice. If I can sneak one thing in, we just got an application. Russ Kenzel turned one in, so if we can get improved upon the background checks. Just ask Jeremy if we could put it in tonight, quick. We'll have to go to background checks. Their application just came in before the meeting. Uh-huh. Since we had a meeting, I wonder if we can just get in right away.
One other item. I know last meeting with the bowling alley, somebody wanted a couple of bowling balls.
Yep.
That's taken care of.
Didn't come up and yet we were waiting to see what was going to happen.
I thought the Lions and fire department were going to kind of talk together. You had kind of mentioned you're going to rejuvenate it a little bit for get-togethers, or?
I wasn't here, but yeah, that's what I heard.
Where were you? I thought you were here.
I trained that night. I was here, but no, there's been nothing since then.
Okay, so there's nothing in the works of any other...
Not as of now.
...thoughts, plans, or...
Yeah, I'm sure it isn't busy with summer crust and stuff, and it's... haven't really been able to push it.
Wonderful. Anything else?
Do you need anything for the Kendall thing, or do you have motion or anything, or just like I...
Should approve it, approve him depending if there's testing and background checks.
Motion made and seconded to approve Russ Kinzel application to the fire department pertaining or depending on the background checks result. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. How many members are there? No, 25
right now. And finally, it will have Sister Keith and Glander come up. We would like you to speak, you guys.
All right. Do you have anybody else have anything for Justin?
No.
As I'm sure some of you know, or maybe all of you know, we have, my wife and I have sold our house here in town, and we have purchased a house in Glenville, which will put me out of fire department district, obviously. I'm here today. What I would like to do, or have permission to do, would be to stay on till the end of February of next year to complete 21 years of service. We will be moving July 6th. I realize I will not be around probably much for medicals, fires. I'll be getting there later. Unless it's the off chance that I'm working in that area with my work over business, I do get to tell sometimes, but obviously not very much. But Justin checked, and of our 12 daytime calls this year, I have made it work.
Actually, I looked again. It was from 6:30 to 4, it was 4 out of 9. So I think this year, I've been working.
And none of those were on the weekend, I believe.
No, that's what took 3 months.
Yeah, that's what took 3 months. So, I guess that's all I got, and I just leave it up to the council to decide whether it will be February or July.
Well, response time will be a little bit longer, but
yep.
I guess at this point, I don't see the problem as to keep you on till see February.
February.
I know, that's my opinion. Council?
Has this ever come up before?
It hasn't, or not really?
Yeah, it's come up before where they worked in town.
Come up with people that move out of town and just come back.
I guess you've got a timeline so we know what is what. I guess I'd still urge, you know, that you, which I don't think you would not respond.
No, absolutely not.
I've been trying to talk him into not moving.
I guess anything that we can do, as far as I'm concerned, to do on and keep the fire department having one more person for another 10 months. You know, I think they're right.
Terry, as on the personal thing, can you sit down and after the last time that we had a conversation around someone moving out of town? Can you remember the changes that we made or the
we discussed, but I don't know that we made any changes in writing.
No, I guess it's something if it was discussed or if you want to get something in writing, it probably should be done soon then, because you never know when it's going to come up.
Now, will you still be coming to the monthly meetings?
Oh, yeah, same. Yep, I'll be going to training meetings the same. Talking on with everything like they always have. It'll just be longer response time, and obviously, I'm not going to respond from the council for a medical. So. Anything else?
Took the daytime call, they said it's hit and miss, but hit and miss is better than we have a lot.
And your bylaws allow us to take late? Do you have anything that agree with it?
So you must work, live in the district, or work, but it doesn't define what work is.
I can do that, shouldn't you? You're comfortable with it?
Yeah, I don't want to.
No, I don't blame you.
There's a lot of stuff, not just on call, but a lot of stuff behind the scenes at your office or your office. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of meetings, a lot of the chiefs meetings, a lot of people who go to meetings, a lot of that.
So is that something then that when it comes to November elections, things will handle the position then differently?
Yeah, as we go.
Yeah, if I was stuck down this year, then just as assistant chief, and then just stand until February to get my 21 full year, so.
Okay. Council?
When are you moving?
July 6th.
I would like to go back to those meetings and make sure that we did make a change. And then we'd be kind of altering that change here without going through the process. I mean, we have time to make this decision. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
If there was a change, we didn't make it on any city policies. It would have been under fire department bylaws. And I don't think there were any changes to the bylaws. I know we discussed it from the last time this issue came up, but.
And that was one thing, just going back to the state on call, we've been waiting on. Because that would put us under the city policies. We just haven't been waiting to see what was going to happen there. Too. Waiting with our bylaws, because at that point we wouldn't need bylaws anymore.
So. Do you need a motion?
We should.
Well, I would move then if we go along with his request, and assuming that there is nothing that comes up that would preclude that from happening.
Your second?
I'll second it. I don't think it's a problem as long as it's okay with Justin.
What? Not like we have a waiting list that we're waiting on anybody.
Motion has been made and seconded for Grand Firefighter Glander up till February as being under department due to his moving out of town. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Justin, maybe it's a personnel committee meeting here, but I'd just be interested in other towns come across this, how they deal with it. I don't want to open a can of worms or anything, but I'm just worried about the precedents we set here by, you know.
Well, that's, we created it, but the personnel committee can put something in writing along, you know, so there is something.
Mm-hmm.
So would this be...
It's happened twice now.
...their name then, if the personnel committee changed it, or how would that work?
I don't know the legality of that.
Well, if the change is after the fact,
right.
It would have to be after
the fact. Right, I guess that's all I'm
thinking. You know?
Yeah, well, I mean, you already have a motion on this issue, so I think.
So it's...
And that's why I kind of left that qualification.
I'm saying moving forward.
Right, yeah. And it would be nice to have it clear.
Yeah.
From now on. Yeah. Yeah.
Have it cut and dry.
Whether good or not,
yeah.
It'd be nice to have it clear.
All right, anything else from the fire department issues? All right, thanks. We'll move on. City ordinance number 149, proposing the electric franchise agreement with Xcel Energy. We had the meeting before. Any questions answered? I guess this is a plan if we want to adopt the city ordinance number 149. Any discussion yet? Council?
I move we adopt it.
There a second?
Awesome.
Motion made and seconded to adopt City Ordinance Number 149 pertaining to the electric franchise agreement with Xcel Energy. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
All right, so Michelle, I'll run that in the paper, and then it'll be legal, and then I'll get you a copy of it. Okay.
Austin, I guess it's your turn.
All right, good evening, Mayor and Council. Just by way of introduction for the audience, my name is Justin Black. I'm an engineer with Short Valley Henderson Liberty and Legacy Health International. We've been helping me on the project. The city held a bid opening on June 2nd. And two bids were received for the street improvement project, and there should be a letter and some information in your council packet related to that bid opening. The low bidder was Winnie Miller and Sons, and in looking at the base bid and all the alternates, the bids came in about 10% under our engineer's estimate, so about 34,000 under the estimate. So the city received some favorable bids on the project. If you remember a couple months ago when we were first discussing the project was structured that there was a base bid and then three alternates. And just reviewing the alternates with the council, the base bid was Jacob Street. Alternate one was Sophia Avenue and then a short segment of Railroad Avenue. Alternate two was improvements to the parking lot at the park. And then alternate three was a hydrant replacement on Sophia Avenue. So those are the base bid and the three alternates. So the project as a whole, we recommend awarding the project to William Miller and Sons. They've done good work for us in the past. But the discussion tonight from the mayor and council is which of the three alternates would the city like to move forward. We've already identified that base bid project, Jacob Street. That project will be included, but the three alternate decisions will be made. So, if you have to answer any questions about the bid opening, otherwise, I'll come back to you with the
question. I dropped them over and I talked to Jeremy, and the bids are favorable, and I wish, and I'm hoping we can maybe make a decision here as to if we can find some extra money to proceed with the majority of this.
I did look into it, and basically what we had set aside was LGA monies for 14 and 15. which that comes to $147,686. We also had another $50,000 in the 2015 budget. We also had discussed in the budget using carryover monies from 2014, which would be part of the city's surplus or so-called cash flow. So we'd be looking at $35,370 there. So really, what we had when we set the budget for total amount of monies to be spent on this project as a whole was $233,000 in $56. So $233,056. Mayor Maltz asked me to look into, you know, if we could look at maybe some reserves or city savings. I did look into them issues, but the roadblock I keep coming to is the community hall. Basically, the community hall, we're looking at anywhere from $40,000 to $80,000 in repairs this year. That's the big roadblock. We do, you know, like I said, we have good cash flows. I've looked at, and we have roughly about, you know, at the end of 2014, we had $379,000 in their cash flow. That's about 79% cash flow. Our recommended cash flow is 35 to 50. But when we set that budget, like I said, 35 of that was to be carried over from 14 into the 15 budget, which is going to reduce your cash flow. The other things we talked about when we started talking about these hall repairs was using that surplus for these hall repairs. So the bottom line we're looking at is $342,000. So we're looking at we need to make up roughly about $110,000. I figure we have about $129,000 to play with as far as cash flow to meet. And that would put us at 50%. Council's comfortable going lower than that, that's fine. We have a policy that we keep our cash flow at 35 to 50%. Now the problem, also in savings for street maintenance, we have $67,000 there also. So there are monies available. But the great unknown and the great question is, what is the hall going to cost us? And that's what I've run through my head all day, trying to get an estimate what we're looking at for hall expenses. If we didn't have that hall, I'd say the city could move forward and do it. I mean, we know Sophia's going to have to be done. It'd be a way of saving monies because I mean, oil's still down. I don't think it's going to stay there. So next year, you know, you're going to be looking at, you know, cost increase. So the big thing, what I've looked at in running the numbers, if we use 129, so let's just say 130, I almost think we have to look at putting $70,000-$80,000 towards that hall. We have bids here tonight for $40,000 just for the flat roof. Mm-hmm. They've talked about there's parts on the round roof, am I correct, Greg, that is going to need some attention. You have the shop that needs attention. So that's my holdup. So, you know, if we set aside 80, it still leaves us with, you know, 250. Or another 50 gets us up to 283. That, like I said, is the comfort level. And then if you want to empty savings, there is that monies and savings to cover, you know, that other amount. But then you would deplete that city maintenance fund for streets, it would be pretty much wiped out. Okay. The other discussion I've had with Mayor Maltz is, I mean, I don't particularly, it's tough to work that way, but there, you can look at 2006 LGA monies to be used to either do the project next year or take one out and do that next year with the LGA or take them LGA monies to replenish savings, but this is up to council as to their thoughts, comments on doing something of that nature. I guess I'm one, I like to have the money, then do the project. The scenario I use is, hey, honey, let's build that pool because that bonus I get next year, it'll pay for it. Oh, guess what? Didn't get the bonus. So there are options there to get it all done, but really comes up, I'm opening it up to council's discussion, throw comments out there, I can run numbers, but I just kind of give you, I know it's a lot to take in or a quick overview. But like I said, the main thing, the city does have cash flow, does have money in reserves they can use for some projects.
But
the question is the hall.
Is it prudent to take and deplete our savings just to get a project done? I mean, the roads are in bad shape.
Well, you're still, you know, the nice thing is you're still at, you know, it depends where you're comfortable at. I'm very comfortable at 50%. I mean, 50% still leaves us $250,000 in the coffers. Yeah, so that's still about 55% of our current budget.
Well, and you're the person that looks at those numbers every day, and I don't think anybody better qualified than you to decide, you know, which way we should go and give us guidance on that. You know, whatever you feel comfortable with, I would certainly go along with it.
You know, I just, if I didn't have the hall, I'd be comfortable in this, but my problem is I don't know what we're getting into with the hall. That's my holdup. I'd like council's input and thoughts on that. You know, like I said, what you'd have to be looking at is, you know, tap into reserves. Like I said, you're probably going to need about 60 to 80,000. We're figuring, Greg, right? 60 to 80 at least that we're going to dump into that hall this year.
So where would we be sitting if we get a base bid in October?
So then we'd be at about 278.
Yes. 278.
And basically we could just take out of that, you know, reserves, we're comfortable going, and I'm comfortable going down to 50% because typically we say that's where we want to be anyways, 35 to 50% of your budget. That's what you want your cash flow at. And we could drop down to 50% and be able to dump 50 into we'd be at about 55%, you know, depending where we set the budget at next year. But based on this year's budget, we'd be at 55% cash flow by taking $50,000 of them surplus and moving it in for this street project, which would give us, you know, 283. So we wouldn't even need 50, which would still leave us with 80,000 for the hall. You know, and like I said, then if you wanted to do the rest of it, like I said, there's the savings, but do you want to, you know, eventually it's got to be done. So this money's going to get spent. So that's the other thing too. You know what I mean? Eventually Sophia's got to get done. Yeah. I mean, the thing is we want to get it done too before it becomes a partial recon versus a mill and overlay. So we're probably looking, just rough estimates of next year or two, we got to be addressing Sophia.
You'd want to move on that in the next few years for sure. You know, it seems like they get to a certain point and they really deteriorate quickly. So you wouldn't want to push it off much longer than that.
I guess. Larry?
You people aren't money cutting on that street project. First place you cut is the park.
It wouldn't look good to the citizens to have a new park and leave a street from that.
Yep. And, you know, I don't know what I have to see the bid, but,
well, suggest an idea.
One thing if you have to start eliminating stuff before you cut any streets off of that, you start with the park.
And the thing to look at, if you want to take that route, if we want to go down that route, take that perspective, what you can look at is we're slated for $75,288 in LGA next year. Depending on what we have for priorities, we'd have to, you know, do our wish list and weigh our needs and wants. But you'd have $75,000. We don't budget that money, but when we receive that money, we've been using that for street improvements, basically, over the past few years.
Really?
So you'd have that money next year then to do the park parking lot, as the council wishes.
Right.
Justin, the city can piecemeal that project part on the thing that they want, right?
You could.
So can they extend the end of the project?
So
what I'm saying is,
stretch it over 2 years.
The council's going to decide, let's keep the last inch and a half of mix off the whole project. And we want to do that next spring. You figure that inch and a half over one, two, three, four, five, six blocks.
Yeah.
And how many dollars worth might that be? Then that would take them into next year when they have their LG money.
It looks like on the base bid and alternate one.
And I don't think if you heard any of the streets, if you put a 5-inch section on there.
Yeah, we're doing 4 inches on Jacob, and we're doing 3 inches on the west portion of Sophia, and it'd be a total of 5 inches on that.
And you could leave the mill and overlay off. That's 3 inches. So by the time you add an inch and a half on how many blocks of those 3 inches, you do that in spring of 2016, yeah. I think that would save you almost quite a bit, or save you quite a bit.
Yeah, just looking at the rough numbers here, might be about $35,000 to $40,000 to push that portion of project on
in your 2016.
Yeah. So that would be on the $35,000 or $40,000 on the base bid and alternate one, which would be Jacob and Sophia. So that don't include anything on the park.
How about the fire hydrant?
The fire hydrant, that was almost $13,000. So whether you include that or not, it sounds like in the grand scheme of things that it's not gonna sway the decision.
I think that's a public safety issue.
I will say this, if you're thinking of moving forward with Sophia Avenue, you may want to consider doing hydrant too, since it's in the same general area. So it would probably just make sense to have all that work done.
Right, I agree.
So if you are looking at doing Sophia, I guess I would suggest at least looking at doing the hydrant.
I think Larry's got a good point that, you know, make a fancy looking parking lot and then put a street cake check and fiddle with that. That's not going to look real good and that's not real practical. And Brad's idea of, you know, scaling it back until when you're completing it next spring, I think those are two excellent ideas. If it'll work.
I agree, but I still, I think streets should be a priority, but I still think that parking lot is going to need to be addressed. Mm-hmm. We can't just dump that parking lot and leave it. It's going to become a huge liability issue if we leave it. It's getting to the point where
it already is.
It is, right.
With the public down there and somebody injures themselves on broken, the city's liable if somebody injures themselves tripping on broken concrete or macadam or whatever down there. So.
And that's $51,000?
Yes, the parking lot was just under $52,000, rounding up to be $52,000.
So Bradley, what you had stated would take care of all the whole project, but just leaving the final lift for spring.
We wouldn't do anything on the mill and overlay until next year, and you'd leave an inch or inch and a half off the rest of the project. And if we decide to do the parking lot, you can put one lift on there and bring that off also, which would save you.
Great, that would
save another $10,000 maybe.
Yeah, that's probably a pretty close estimate. That'd be about another, about $10,000. You did the parking lot, but left the last layer on the canvas off and you went $10,000.
And that just for the streets, correct?
There's no big problem on the engineering end to do it that way?
I wouldn't see an issue. We'd probably just issue a change order that would separate those pieces out and extend the completion date.
Yeah.
And if the contractor is agreeable to it, it sounds like he is. I don't foresee any issues with that approach.
So since I don't know, I'm not a street guy type, that kind of give me the clip notes of what this new change would look like as far as how would it impact the lifetime of that, of the streets and that.
Well, the pavement is placed down in two layers to us. There's an underlying, what we call non-wearing course layer, and then there's a wearing course that goes on top. If we are doing significant underground utility work, typically we do just place the non-wear, the bottom lift, the first year, and then wait to freeze thaw so that the inner settlements can show up, and then the next spring or summer put on that final wearing course. Because this project is a mill and overlay and there's no underground utility work, the way we structured the project is just doing all the work in one construction system. But like I said earlier, it's not uncommon to just do the base course, wait up a winter, and then do the final wave.
That's probably great. Standard practice, wouldn't you say?
That's the standard practice.
Typically disturb the base?
Right. That's the standard practice. So the advantage of doing it all in 1 year, the reason why we did it all in 1 year is typically we're dealing with just 2015 prices. But again, if the contractor's willing to hold on their prices for the following year, kind of an increase, we would be no disadvantage to pull it off.
So Justin, we got $52,000 for the parking lot, $13,000 for the hydrant, $162,000 for Sophia and Railroad Street. It was out to be $227,000 plus $115,000 for the base bid. It was to be $342,000. We've got $233,000 budgeted. So that leaves us a $109,000 difference.
Yeah.
Okay, and so Brad, how much are we going to quote unquote save by doing what you're proposing?
I came up with about $50,000.
Which will transfer into 2016.
Correct.
Okay. So that's 60 then. We got our LGA money and our other funds will be alright, hopefully, for the other project.
Now are we going down the road where we're looking at base and alt 1 and 3? Are we considering the parking lot? Have we ruled that out?
That's what I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just saying that $342,000 includes everything.
Right, that's right. The parking lot.
Right. And that's the parking lot included. And then the $233,000 is what we got budgeted. So that leaves $109,000. And if we can get $50,000 off of that by delaying it until next year, that leaves us with $60,000. Yeah. You're the... You're there for the numbers.
We'd have to come up with 60 rather than that.
Right.
Yeah. Right. What you feel
about. That's why I'm asking if we're looking the whole thing so I know what.
Yeah.
Is that workable? You know, as far as you're concerned?
As long as we get LGA, it's very workable. And I would have to think, I mean, I know they just had their special session. They were talking about adding to the bills, another about $15,000 would have been for our city, and that would have had to been specifically used for streets and that, but that didn't pass. That didn't go through in the special session. So yeah, I mean, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't receive our LGA. It's, you know, it's $75,000 in the LGA. And like I said, I think you have more than enough if you're considering taking it into next year and using next year's LGA to complete this project, and then also taking probably, you know, $40,000 out of the surplus, still then that's leaving you with $90,000 to deal with the haul issues and still maintaining your you know, recommended cash flow. So very workable. If we can do that.
So what's our next step? To make a motion?
Right.
To award it.
Correct. Jeremy's got a resolution.
Yep. We'll have to amend it.
Passing the resolution. And
then we'd have to state, you know, in the resolution, now therefore be it resolved, number one, we'd have to define what we're doing right now. It's just in their base bids. An alternative, I left it open. I didn't know what. So then we'd have to list it as base bid improvements and alternate 1, 2, and 3 for a grand total of, you know, 342, 290, 40. Then you'd have to put the change order together and get that for approval. Correct?
That's correct. Yep. That was a good synopsis of what needs to be done. So the resolution needs to be passed, and then we would put that change order together and put that over William Miller's outlining what we deleting or holding off. I shouldn't say deleting, but holding off until 2016, and then get that
kind of out of the city.
Walk me through the finance plan.
All right. So basically, what we're looking at, if we're looking at doing the 342,290, we needed an extra 110,000, roughly, right? So we're looking at 110,000 that we needed to do the whole project, where we need to get money from. So if we take into consideration next year's LGA, you know, so now we need to take roughly about $34,700 out of cash flow. And like I said, we have about $130,000 in the cash flow to play with. That still leaves you with $95,000 for the hall improvements while maintaining a cash flow of 50 to 55% of your budgeted expenses. And what we want to be at is 35 to 50.
And this is that you're taking in accordance with delaying.
Right, and now, right, and taken into account, you know, because I'm just looking at the bottom numbers, taken into account that we're using next year's LGA for this project also. So next year's LGA is already spent.
And we're not tapping cash reserves.
We would not, well, or cash reserves, savings, correct.
Yeah.
Correct, we wouldn't be touching that. We'd just be the surplus, the
savings.
67 for that's for street maintenance.
So roughly the LGA.
Correct. So it's just any other projects next year would literally almost be a tax increase, you know what I mean? Because you're already tapping out 75,000 of the budget.
I guess I would look to Larry, you know, you depend on the agenda you were. How did that sound to you?
Well, I don't think the city is going to be able to keep up with the deteriorating streets and how this is going. First of all, the council made a mistake the last, not this year, but two following years, 0% tax increase. We're paying for it now. And when they redid David Avenue in front of my place, Schwitz's, Brad's, we got assessed for it. When I was on the council, we overlaid Kim Avenue, mill and overlay. The only reason we did that, and then assessed the homeowners, that street got broke up because of the sewer project. But I don't think you're going to be able to keep up with this unless you start assessing your percentage to the homeowner to get at these streets. You go look at Sheely. I don't know. Go look at Sheely. Over by Scotty Feldman's. Look at Central. They should be done right now. They're all alligator up.
You know, and like I talked, you're going to get into some projects that are going to be expensive. Not going to be able to use LGA or the tax money. It's going to get to a point where you're going to have to bond. And as I explained, and I had Justin come and explain that in order to bond, to do Chapter 429, one thing I just want to make clear with people is you're very limited as a city. You're governed by state statutes on certain monies you can spend. I can't just go to the bank and ask for a loan. So when you get to your streets, your water and sewer, I believe them are typically the main three where you have to go through statutory authority for bonding. So streets is one of them. We're going to get to a point where we're going to have a $300,000 project. I mean, we can't sit and wait 5 years if it needs to be done this year, because like I've explained, you're going to get it from going from a mill and overlay to a recon. So I agree with Larry. It's something I push. It's something I brought forth to the council numerous times. It will eventually have to come to that. Almost every city now is going to some type of standard assessment policy.
Absolutely. So like these projects we're talking about, did the property owners get assessed for that, or does everybody in the city get
assessed for that?
No, no assessments.
What about our taxes? Everybody's taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I know you're going to get into how come they didn't get assessed, but we got assessed. You know, that's always going to be your number one battle. But eventually, you got to do it.
No, no. Biggest argument there is, well, they did mine this year. Mine's 5 years down the road. My assessment's going to be twice as much because of the cost of labor and oil, so it increased that much over a 5-year period.
There will be discussions, yes.
But I don't think the city's going to keep up the way you drive and look at the streets. We've got a bunch of streets in town right now that should be resealed for. You know, I don't know if your council members drive the streets, but I drive them every day. And
well, we're going to have to put more teeth into this assessment policy and get it adopted.
I know it's going to be trouble.
I know you don't want to do it, but
it's just
the hard part is like I said, you're tied to, you know, for your bonding, and bonding requires you to assess at least
20%. That's correct. Yeah.
Well, let's handle tonight's.
Longer to wait that I was going to get the curb. If you look at our curb, we've got perfect curb in town. You got to start tearing curb out, or else you just start telling the big cash.
Do you recall, is that in, with Sevilla, the curb there, replacing the curb on the east side, right, but not the west side? Am I correct?
Yes.
Remembering?
On railroad.
And that's probably about the worst curb we have in town.
Yes.
You know, you could eliminate that curb down the park around that area and make it look incomplete. That'd be a pretty savings.
I think we already did that. We just did 10 feet coming in or 12 feet coming in, and then the rest we eliminated. Yeah, to keep costs down. Yeah.
Has everybody got their questions answered? Or is it okay?
Yeah, I got my questions.
I guess at this time, if I look for a motion for approving resolution number 2015-07.
With the amendment to
changes.
Bullet 1 that stated that the work as contained in the base bid improvements and alternate 1, 2, and 3 mm-hmm. are hereby ordered in the amount of $342,290.40.
Is there a motion?
We don't, in the change order, we don't need a motion.
He'll put that together and the next meeting will approve that.
We'll bring that back.
Yep.
So
moved. There's a second.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve resolution number 2015-07 with number one, the state director that's contained in the base bid improvements and alternates. And 1, 2, and 3 for the total of $342,290.40. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Tom.
See you next month.
Excuse me. George, did you have something to do? Excuse me.
And back to part of that, you guys did it. So I was going to suggest that if you were to push the parking lot project off the next spring as well, you got a little more cushion in it. You're not going to get it done before Northwest
Park
this year anyway.
Right.
And do it next year to Dungeons
first. Just a quick one. Is Sophia still going to be parked on the road yet? Are you going to totally eliminate that? I know the sign has been taken out to go down Louisa Street, but it's still truck route. But, and I know the company that's there. I'm just wondering.
You know, we probably won't make no decision on that. I mean, right now it is.
Okay, well, that's
but until we know
right.
what's going to happen with UFC,
yep.
I don't think we want to change it, and then somebody comes in there, then we need to change it again.
Right, so, that's why I'm wondering, because I do kind of every once in a while on weekends do use that for part-time job. Not that I can drive all that again and get a truck, although blocks, I do use that truck route for the 40-year-old truck, because I know it is an old truck route.
especially if trucks are driving by my house at 30 miles an hour.
So at this time, nothing will change on that?
I'm just wondering, that way it's...
Unless council has wishes to change it, but I don't think it makes sense now until we know what becomes of the UFC buildings.
So, all right, we're done with that part. We'll move on. The old city business, basically, a little review here. Good government and meeting presentation from the lead attorney, Paul Young. Good evening.
Good evening.
You going to enlighten us or review
yeah.
us?
Yeah. I'm supposed to do that
correctly. Yes, please.
That is not
really good. Here.
Okay. Thank you for inviting me to come back to follow up in the last meeting that we had when the lead representatives were out here. I really appreciate that coming out and that they did a great job of the presentation. And I'm here just to follow up on that presentation and to give the city some legal advice as it relates to that presentation and council member roles, responsibilities, and how that plays in with the Data Practices Act. I do think James did touch on some of those things, but I just think it's important to kind of highlight some of those things with our city. And I want to apologize to the extent that you guys already understand this, if I'm repeating anything, not meaning to, but I just want to make sure that all the council members are on the same page. So this city and every city is governed by Chapter 13, and those laws as it relates to private data and other forms of non-public data as well as public data. And I think sometimes people get confused about data issues because data is something that's in a tangible form. So it could be a recording of something, it could be a medical record of someone, it could be a tape of a closed session meeting. So there could be all, this city has all different forms of data, as does every city. So the law also provides that if you're in a, say you're in a public meeting and someone references something that is non-public data, so you're not in a closed session, but say you're talking about something and someone references something that happens to be non-public or private about someone. The fact that something's referenced in a public meeting doesn't change the classification of that private data. So, data is either public or it's not public. And as council members, you guys can't change the classification of that data, even if something comes up in a public meeting that addresses non-public data. It's still non-public. Council members don't have any authority under the law to change any classifications of data. That's a statutory issue. It's what our legislature has given to us, and I can't change any classification of data as one of your city's attorneys. We also have, at the same time, it kind of works with this whole data issue to protect things. We have the open meeting law. And so, again, it's governed by our Minnesota statutes, and that's Chapter 13D is the open meeting law. And those laws allow a city to close meetings under certain statutory provisions. And so it's It's not up to any council member to make up those laws. It's just, it is the law. We have to comply with those laws as the city of Hamden. So every time there is a closed session, the law requires there to be a tape recording of the closed meeting. That's a statute. It's not something that the city can decide it doesn't want to do. And I know that you guys always do close those closed sessions and tape record them. When that tape recording is made, data is created at that moment. So when you guys are speaking in a closed session and there's a recording of that, that is city data that's being created that wasn't created before the closed meeting was held. But now the city has data that's on, it's a tangible thing, it's a tape, and it's governed by Chapter 13. If the council's holding a meeting in a closed session as it relates to allegations or charges brought against an individual subject to its authority, meaning an employee, or anyone else subject to its authority, and it's closing that meeting, the law says that meeting has to be recorded, and the data of that recording is non-public, it's private. And nothing on that recording can be made public by the city of Hamden. No council member has any authority to make public anything that would have been on any closed session tape. That could be anything that any of you might say in a closed session, because now what you said is data at that closed session. So it's not the same as if you're saying something on the street or you're saying something to Jeremy in his office or whatnot. When you're in that closed session, you are creating data, all of you are creating data, and you don't have the right to make any of that public ever. So you can't Twitter about it, you can't put it on your Facebook page, you can't put it on the website, you can't email someone about the data from that meeting. The law says it's not lawful to do that. If a council member is doing something like that, they're not doing that as a council member. Because by law, you can't do that. And if you're doing something outside of your scope as a council member, now you're doing that as a personal citizen. And you don't have any protection of the city of Hamburg. Even if you may be a council member, you don't have any protection from this city to be doing those things. And what does that mean? That means that someone could sue you individually for violating the law. It also means it could be possibly a crime. It also means there could be civil penalties as it relates to that, because the law looks at you guys as elected officials very seriously in what your responsibilities are to this city once you take that oath of office. It's a serious thing. That's why I'm sitting here right now. And so I really want to urge every council member to really please think carefully as to your role as a council member, as to your responsibilities to this city, as to the responsibilities you have to yourself to protect your own individual self, and what private data you may encounter. So as another example, we have a personnel committee, and we have Council Member Lund and Council Member Cutters on that personnel committee. They have rights to see certain personnel data that the rest of the council, even the mayor, wouldn't necessarily have the right to see if there's an issue that comes to the personnel committee. They could go to Jeremy and they could say, Jeremy, can you show me something because an issue has arisen? And because this council has designated you as the personnel committee, you do have rights to access private data that other council members do not. council members don't have the right to just request and see private data. The law says that's not okay. The city has an obligation and a duty to protect data regarding all of its employees to the greatest extent that the law provides under MnSTAT section 13.43. It's my job as your city attorney to do everything in my power to protect data that's non-public so that this city does not get sued. I, at this point, feel that one of the options that's available to the city as it relates to possible data questions is to use the Information Policy Analysis Division of the State of Minnesota, which is free to the City of Hamburg. And I have done this before as city attorney for other cities where data practices issues have arisen. So the acronym is IPAD, not to be confused with Macintosh product. It's not, no, but as, yeah, we refer to IPAD as the Information Policy Analysis Division of the State of Minnesota. And what IPAD will do is if you write to them, it's within our statutes, you can write to IPAD and you can give them a situation, a scenario, and say, okay, you know, if this is happening, is this a violation of the law? Could you give us an opinion on that? They will give an opinion back. That opinion is a public opinion, and I've done this a couple of times before. I've actually Googled my name, and Jeremy and I were looking at that in my office. Things that can, I can't believe you're, I mean, all of those requests I've made in the past, they are all searchable. They're all on the internet. You can just Google my name and city, and you'll find when I've done that before. But I found that that is a really good way to protect the city, for one, because now we've got the state that's coming in and saying, yes, you are correct, city. This is your analysis of data in these different scenarios. That's correct. And this would be a violation of MnSTAT section 13.43 by having these things made public. So I would ask the council to make a motion to allow me to do that. And that would be specifically as it relates to issues Jeremy and I have been talking about. Some of those issues would include if a council member were to publish or put out in the public information coming from a closed session tape. And it could be comments made by council members. It could be comments about employees. It could be information, whatever, that would be discussed in a closed session. And so the question I would pose is to the IPAD attorney, you know, is it lawful to repeat or to publish information on those closed session tapes of whatever has been said? So that would be one question I'd like to ask. Another question I'd like to ask is, you know, things such as medical information regarding the city's employees. Is it okay to publish that? And my guess is they're going to be telling you that. I've also talked to Jeanette Baer, who was here, and I've run those scenarios by her, and I've also talked to James, who was here and gave your presentation. James actually was the one that suggested the whole IPAD thing to me as perhaps being helpful to this city. So that would be my suggestion to the council as far as getting some clarification on these issues. And I also want to just explain very briefly that you guys all have First Amendment free speech rights. You absolutely do. As citizens of the United States, you have free speech rights. But if I could give an analysis or analogy, say you get a license to drive a car, right? You have rules you have to obey. You can't go 80 in a zone that says 55. If you do, you're going to probably get stopped at some point, even though you have the right to drive that car. The law puts limitations on that right to drive that car. It's no different with our free speech. There are times when it's not lawful to put certain speech out there. This would be one of those times, because as a council member, you took an oath of office and you have statutory obligations that are not trumped by your free speech rights. You lost those rights the moment you raised your hand and you said, I'm taking this oath of office as it relates to private, non-public data. You don't have the right to publish that. It's unlawful. That's my lecture, but
so, okay, you've been.
I hope this makes sense to you guys. I mean, does this make sense to you guys?
Yeah, is the city, how do you say, in.
Liable? In trouble?
Liable? In trouble? Or anything?
Well, here's where the city's liability comes in. As this city, we have an obligation statutorily to protect non-public data from becoming public. That is our obligation. It's your guys' obligations as council members is to protect that non-public data. My job as your city attorney is to protect that non-public data. We have to do what we can do to protect that non-public data. To the extent we don't do that, then the city could be held liable for not protecting the non-public data, yeah.
Well, in my thoughts, to me, most of the council, some employees and whatever, are, I'm going to say, involved, targeted, whatever. So, as a council or as a private citizen, where do we fall in?
Well, to the extent that information is put out in the public that comes from a private closed session meeting, that's information that's being put out about a council member or as an employee, because that council member is a city council member and that meeting occurred. So that's separate from you, Mayor, as a private citizen. To the extent that something's happening at a council meeting, then I mean, it's your right that your rights potentially are being violated. But I'm saying the city, you're sitting here right now as a
city.
You have your municipal
city
hat on. You don't have your private hat on right now. The minute this meeting's adjourned and you walk out of here, you are not a city council member from that standpoint of what you say and do. And then to the extent that you walk out of here and you start talking to a citizen about something you happen to know because you were in a closed session, you could find yourself in a world of trouble.
Right, okay, say it's an open session like tonight.
This is, yeah, there is no
so,
private data. There's nothing here that is.
So
private.
My First Amendment rights are fine and dandy to do what I would think I could do.
In a open meeting? Yeah, because, no, okay, let me caveat that. If we're sitting here in this open meeting room right now, and you happen to start talking about someone's health condition that's an employee, you're talking about non-public data.
Correct, I understand.
Now,
that.
The law does not say and prohibit you from doing that. You can be in an open meeting, and sometimes in open meetings, you know, non-public private data is discussed. However, if you were to talk about that, it still is private, non-public data. The fact you brought it up in an open meeting does not make it public. Mm-hmm. And so you couldn't go out there, even though it was talked about here, you couldn't go out there and start talking about that employee's health condition. Because that's not, that there's data that the city of Hamburg has about in a particular employee's health condition that is private.
So
you can't make it public.
Okay.
Even if you're talking about here, it doesn't change. I know, that's where it gets confusing. It does not change the classification of the data if it is classified as non-public data if you mention it in an open meeting.
So, in reality, that
you have to be careful what you say.
Right, so this was already probably breached.
Well, I don't want to admit any liability of the city, so I can't answer that.
Okay.
Don't ask me to answer.
All right. Oh.
Okay.
I got to ask her if I want to
can
or what I can.
I don't want to answer it because I don't want to admit. I don't want to admit.
So let's say even an employee brings up their medical condition just to inform the council here in an open meeting. That can't be brought outside this meeting and publicized.
Not if the city has any data in its possession about that person's health condition.
Okay.
If the city has any documentation.
So you need documentation
any,
or something
any,
on file?
On file? Okay. Do you remember that someone's given you? No.
So
I mean, then it. That
data would have had been created in order to. Okay.
Now, the council members sitting around the room may not know what data you have on people. And
right.
They shouldn't know.
Right.
Because they should not know all of the non-public data you have on each of the city's employees. Because that's none of their business.
Right. Unless it was an issue where the personnel committee needed
access. Then the personnel committee would
access
know.
To
but that
it,
doesn't
right.
mean everyone else would know that.
Right.
So I guess I'm trying to tell you guys, you got to really be careful when you're publicizing anything about this city, and you really got to be thinking about, is anything I'm doing communicating something that's possibly not in public data? If I don't know the answer to that question, I'm not going to communicate anything because I don't know. If you do communicate it and you don't know, that's not an excuse under the law.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't advise anyone to be doing those things. In fact, I would strongly urge you from doing any of those things, and I'm here to tell you, you can't do those things under the law. If you do those things under the law, if it's not under the law, and you're doing it as a private citizen, then you could find yourself sued.
So what do you do with when you have an issue where a document's provided to you, to the city, but that document wasn't made public, but someone went and published and made it public?
That's a violation. So what the reality is those people whose rights may have been violated would have independent causes of action against the person who violated their rights.
Yeah, I don't know what I can say and what I can't. I'm just...
Yeah.
I've got things on the tip of my tongue right now that, you know, I'm real tired of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking for a solution to this.
I think the iPad would be a really good thing to protect the city, and here's why. Because now we have the state of Minnesota, not just the league and not just me, that's trying to explain this. And if that doesn't work, then Jeanette said, give me a call back, and she will take it to the next level. So that's my marching orders.
Okay, what would be...
I haven't even talked to Jeremy about that. So.
Well, it's just, I don't know, like I say, I'm fed up.
Mm-hmm.
And for one to claim First Amendment rights,
mm-hmm.
and another can't
mm-hmm.
do their First Amendment rights, there's a double standard.
Mm-hmm.
Well, morals come into play, too.
You know, this is old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're termed as employees, correct?
Kind of. I don't, Not to the extent of closing a meeting under the open meeting law, no, but.
Well, say it this way.
Yeah.
If I was the employer and the employee would do whatever, I would fire him.
Mm-hmm.
Plain and simple.
Right.
I'd have the grounds to do it.
Yeah.
But right now, on hand, I can say, seems to do anything,
mm-hmm.
but put up with it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm just worried about the public image.
Right.
What does it say for our town?
What does it create? Because I often ask, are we representing as a city council member or aren't we? That's the biggest question I have.
Mm-hmm.
When we go out and publish things, is the full story being told?
Mm-hmm.
Or is just part of it?
Well, some of these things, no part of the story should be told. That's the whole reason why we have the closed session meeting, so there should be no part. That is so troubling to me because the law does not allow anyone to publish those things.
So from obligation from the city standpoint to protect that privacy,
yeah.
you're looking for us to authorize going to iPad
mm-hmm.
or determining if a violation has been made?
Yes, I would be giving those scenarios and then having them give an opinion back to me.
And then?
And that would protect the city. So to the extent that things keep happening, Jeanette wants me to let her know that.
And I agree that we give Kelly the authority to go to iPad to essentially either clarify or verify
yeah.
that a breach has taken place.
Yep. Second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to authorize the city attorney to contact iPad with questions or issues relating.
Who seconded?
I did.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, thank you. Chris, you have anything? Else you want to dwell on? No? Jeremy?
Well, it's basically a chief executive officer of the city.
And you, by the way, Jeremy, you have the responsibility to protect the data under our Data Practices Act policy, so.
Right, which I.
Yes, and you're doing
keep
a good
in,
job.
Keep in
that.
Touch with you.
Yes, you're doing the best job you can.
I just think it's time, if people have something to say, something to write about, questions, concerns, it should take place here.
Mm-hmm.
Not on a website,
mm-hmm.
not in the bar,
mm-hmm.
not at the backyard campfire.
Mm-hmm.
They should be dealt with here, brought up here,
mm-hmm.
and they should be ironed out amongst council as adults.
And that is why we do have council meetings. So the way that the law is set up is that you guys as a council meet, and if people do have concerns about things, this is where those concerns and questions, because this is where city business is conducted. City business is not conducted outside of a meeting. So if there are concerns, they do need to be talked about in a meeting.
There's city things and internal things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we've got a lot of city business
mm-hmm.
to take care of.
Right.
We're getting an awful lot of extra, how should I say, internal things
yes.
that are consuming a lot of time.
Yes.
Employees' time.
Your resources.
Yep.
Legal fees.
Yes.
Yep.
I think there's been a lot of wasted time.
Mm-hmm.
over things that should be discussed here.
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating because like with Dick, there's, you know, you pick your words, but there's just some things. I don't like coming to work and have to step in a certain way to my chair, avoiding landmines, mm-hmm. or pulling knives out of my back, I'm done doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, it needs to be addressed here and discussed, and then dropped.
Mm-hmm. Get over it.
I can forgive and forget, but if others can't, it creates issues for everyone.
Jeremy, can I say something? I don't know if you know why. I met Larry Miller. I was on the council for 12 years. And we had issues. They got solved right here. We never went out. They didn't go to the world. We solved them here. It was simple. The council all got along. There were nights we didn't, but it blew over. But we solved our problems right here. And just from what's going on, listening to the people of town, I actually think we're getting a bad name. Mm-hmm. And I don't know who would want to sit on the Hamburg City Council. I think it's what's going on is gonna cause a lot of problems to people in our city. And I got battered when I was on the council, and for no reason. I thought I was doing right, but he did. And then brings your family into it, that's bad news. What I have to say, but I think we're having a problem getting people to serve the city just from what's been happening over our website.
Who'd want the job?
Because you don't know when you're going to be the subject.
Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, this city has spent more on attorney fees in the last year than I think probably the last 20. With some big projects we've had.
I mean, you never know when you got a target on your face.
Yeah.
Just for expressing your First Amendment rights.
Yeah.
I agree with Jeremy about the public perception of it as well. I've talked to a couple people who work outside of town in different towns. They're afraid to mention the fact that they are from Hamburg because of several things that have been going around these communities.
Yeah, it's not doing us any justice, you know, for our namesake.
Need to be problem solvers.
Not creators. What do we do?
Well, I think the next step is to go to ICAB and
yeah, have a drink. That'll calm you down.
Who knows what's in that? To the extent that things are public data, the city doesn't have any control over things that are public data. Any of you can say anything about anything you want to the extent it's public data. Where things are non-public data, that's where people's free speech rights are limited, because you can't publish non-public data. Nobody has the right to do that. But to the extent you have someone on your council that wants to communicate public data about other council members, about the city, put them perhaps in a negative light, that's absolutely that person's right as a United States citizen to do that. The question I would have is, if that's what you want to do, why are you on the council?
Yeah, I agree. Why are you serving the city in that manner?
I don't know the answer to that. So there's only so much that we can do as a city. What we can try to do something about is containing the non-public data, but I can't do anything about public data.
So For me, the best would be them if I don't want to resign and then warm up my keyboard.
Well, just because one person does something doesn't mean it's a good idea to do that as well.
One is that.
I don't know yourself. You still can have this little private chat.
Right.
Correct.
Right.
Right.
One can dream. Yeah. One can talk.
That's just to consider everything private.
Pardon?
Just consider everything being private.
No, just, it's old. It's all like that. Enough.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time with cities and, you know, just trying to really tell people, hey, you know, if it's private, you just don't even want to go down that road. And sometimes I have council members that just won't listen to me, and I remember one time when a mayor of a different city called me up and said, you know, I'm going to call a reporter from the Star Tribune, and I'm going to say X, Y, Z, and I, you know, telling that mayor, you can't do that. We were just in a private meeting. We're going to get sued. You can't do that. And he said, thanks for the legal advice. I'm going to do it anyways, Kelly. And it was on the front page of the newspaper the next day. So there you go. Just because we have laws doesn't mean that everyone's necessarily going to obey those laws. I mean, all I can try to do as your city attorney is tell you, here's what the law is. Here's what you can't do. If individual people don't want to listen to that, I mean...
Have you run into anything like this ever in your career?
Not quite like this, no.
I guess the thing... Nobody wants a media circus. At worst case scenario, nobody wants any issues, you know, that you've described. I just, like I said, I'm just going to reiterate the public image. There's been so many good things done in this city over the years. Yeah, I know taxes are higher here. We don't have the industry to suck up the tax base. Look at Hamburg Street. Yeah, there's some streets we have to be repaired, but they're a lot better than most towns. We have curb and gutter on every street. You have an excellent fire department. You have people that take pride in this city. It is a beautiful city. I worked here 19 years. Do I have bad days? Yes. Do I enjoy most of them? Yes. But lately? No. The public image created here in the past 6 to 8 months is just unacceptable to me as the person that technically runs the city. And informs the council, or the council runs the city, but who is the go-to person to the council. I have concerns over that. I agree with you, Kelly. Are you a disgruntled person? Or are you a council member and a team player? That's all I want to say. That's the question, I guess that's the question I have for what's going on here.
I'll never get an answer.
And that person never says nothing.
Well, not to give the cart ahead of the horse or anything like that, but let's say iPad comes back and confirms the speculation that many of us have on this concept. From a standpoint of protecting the city, what is this? What would be kind of a logical step in the city at that point?
Well, I mean, if the city has those opinions, then I think we're going to have to talk further about possible more censures, possible repercussions somehow as it relates to doing things that the law says we can't do. We do have the power to continue to do that, limiting information to the greatest extent that we can for the city still doing business. And those are things I would need to talk to the league about. But that also, you know, I mean, they give advisory opinions, so they're not a judge. But, I mean, that would also be substantiating individual claims that certain people could have against a council member for violating their rights. Because, state council members, your rights have been violated. I don't know if they have or not. I'm just saying they haven't. IPAC comes back and says, yes, this was a violation. You could have an independent cause of action as it relates to your violation of your rights. So could everyone else whose rights potentially have been violated. So that has a significant, I can't imagine having a governmental agency opine something like that as far as, I would hope that that particular person would not be doing those things anymore. Because then there are willful, there are penalties for willful breaches of data because all of you as companies have an obligation, statutory obligation to not breach anyone's data rights. So if you do it with malfeasance, if you do it intentionally, you've got penalties coming at you. And if you've got several people that have penalties coming at you and you've got several claims, think about, that's a huge amount of liability, and Wheaton Woods City is not going to defend their council member.
Okay. Anything else for Kelly or comments? Bob? You look like wheels are spinning.
Oh, I got a lot of stuff to say, but I better keep my mouth shut due to decorum.
Well, you want to show go to the next step here? Or?
Yeah, and I think some other concerns I got as far as who has keys to what buildings. And I also think council can back me or not back me, but employees with Floyd Security, they should be the ones getting the calls or the text messages first. Prime example of that is someone gets a text message, come up here and deals with it while I drove all the way from Nord here to deal with it when I'm on call. I'm on call. I should be dealing with it. I also don't think anybody other than employees should have keys to the office, treatment plant, or any other accessibility to the city's infrastructure. I don't know what council's thoughts are, but these are just some of my concerns. Also, if it continues with what I consider to be harassment, I want a motion made that council members that act in certain manners then have limited access to employees. This is also something for council to discuss. These are my concerns. The biggest concern I have is Larry kind of touched on it. At what point are you going to get where you have no employees? Public image is created. Who's going to come here?
Vendors.
And so on. We sat here that night and watched that video. And in me, what I mostly took about that video that we watched with Mosquito Heights is how they talked about it. I would have to assume the one guy was basically the city administrator. He kind of wanted to sit there and take a back seat, which I'm the type of person I can't do. I feel I need to express these concerns, and they need to be addressed. I mean, it just, like I said, my biggest problem is just the public image right now. I can't even go out in the town I live in and hearing about it. It's embarrassing.
Well, we should probably address the issues as to the Floyd Security.
I mean, I'm not saying the call list should be in the order it is. And then text messages should go to the employees before they go to anyone else.
Why is that happening?
I don't know. I think that was...
That was just the way it was set up.
It was set up. But to avoid issues and confusion, because...
I guess we don't need a motion that we have to contact Floyd Security to get it the way it should be.
But we've had occasions when Greg has been off and you've had the phone and you forgot to bring the phone to work on Monday, and so Floyd had no way of getting hold of
it. But I'm here at work. What was that a example of? Yeah, so I forgot the phone, but I was here at work. Well, we were covered. The main thing is coverage. And the other thing is, why do we need a text for every little thing that goes wrong out there? Because that's why we have them. If I can't put my trust and faith in that system, we don't need it.
Well, no, I don't think you totally...
You're putting it on me.
No, I'm not. No, you're right. I'm not putting it on you. I'm not explaining to it how it works. The notifications that I get on my phone come directly from the automation system at Floyd. It does not come from a person. The way that the call list is set up, and did you see my email?
Yeah.
Where I text about the lift station?
Yep.
Okay. So the way that that works is when Floyd gets an alarm, initially they would call Greg first. Now we've changed it, as I understand it, so that they call the city hall first. Right. All right. Simultaneously and totally unrelated to any people at Floyd, that's how I get the text message. So they're not notifying me first.
Why do you get the text message and nobody else does?
You get the text message before we get the call.
Well, and I can't speak to their people when making the call.
I think we speak that the text message doesn't go out.
Several times I haven't even gotten a call. Period. You notified me or texted me that you got them alarms. I'm the guy who should get the text first. Yet I don't even get them. I mean, and it's not the coverage either. I'm just not getting the thing. It's one, I don't understand it. Myself, I'm already going to scrap the whole damn system and put a dialer in and be done with it. But it could. That's our first big eye on the thing. Like I said, you text me or somebody calls me and yeah, I'm just going to call. It's like, well, okay, I'm supposed to be number two, and then my other phone, my personal phone, is probably number three on the list. I don't get anything. But my home phone, if I think it's supposed to be number three, because I'm an employee, they don't get any there. But yet I'm getting texts that you got yada this, yada that, yada this, yada that, or they don't mind my phone.
Yeah, and I don't know them. I don't have the answer.
We'll get that handled tomorrow.
System, put a dialer in and say, I'm going to purpose it. Other cities have it. Like I said, to me it's not working the way it should. Hopefully nothing ever really goes to hell that I don't get notified.
That's the advantage of having two different people notified so that somebody always gets it.
Well, we've got plenty of people to get notified. And I think as tomorrow, as a call is made, that it gets changed. Greg is first in the city.
It'll be office.
Yeah.
Then Greg, then me, then you.
And emails,
then whatever the call list is.
And emails, as far as I'm concerned, can be...
Do you want them?
What's that?
Do you want them? Or should I just have them?
Ixnay.
The text, emails.
Text.
I don't prefer a call, but if I don't, like I said, otherwise, the text or whatever. But like I said, I'm just not getting it.
So it is.
It's not any phones.
I think we just need to know why. Why Greg's not getting it.
Well, because somebody else's name is on first.
Well, that's the only thing that needs to be eliminated and changed.
Yes.
No, my name is not ahead of Greg's.
Why are you getting them first and you don't even get them?
Because I'm set up for the text messages. Greg's getting the calls.
That's why we say we're going to change the text messaging.
Yeah, well then I should be set up for
the text
messaging.
The man in charge should get it more so than...
I can get them on the phone, I can get them on the personal phone, or one of the work companies. So if I just like half the time I'm not getting it, they're going to be notifying me of it, then I don't even get it. I'm like, well, okay. And,
I think maybe
guy that should get a phone call before somebody else too is Mr. Reitz. He knows more about that. Does he have a key for that?
Yeah, but response time.
Yeah, but I mean, if...
If there's something Greg will call him.
Yeah, if we get to the point where...
But he should have a key before somebody else in town here.
Right? He's got it.
Well, text messages is what we're talking about. We go to him first, and then we'll have to change tomorrow.
Yeah. I just sure. think that key should come back and at least give the Mr. Reitz, because he's involved with that anyway.
Well, that's next step.
Okay. I just throw my stuff anyway, so...
So, we will handle the text part of it tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, it was also brought up about a key to the... And who should have them to the water treatment plant? I would think that Homeland Security, whenever, ever, I don't care who, what, or where, should be limited. And at this point, I would think that you don't need one.
And that's fine.
So I would probably look for a motion or whatever we need that you turn the key in for the water treatment plant tomorrow, or whatever, as soon as.
You want the keys to the shops, too?
Whatever you want to give up.
We should all come back.
You know. I think we should have a motion. I think it would be in order to enact that. Is there a motion?
I make a motion that all keys for the city of Handley, Mary's Grove, this guy should be turned back in later on.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded that Councilman Odom's returning the keys when he asked for water treatment plant and other buildings to the city. Tomorrow, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Are we under control here?
Yep, I think I have.
Anything from the council yet? No, I guess. Thank you very much.
Okay,
and I know you'll keep in touch.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to run by the questions by Jeremy, so I will just come
sure.
back.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Appreciate your work.
Yeah.
All right. I think we've kind of beat up number 9. So we'll move on to number 10, Public Works. Mr. Schultz.
I guess the first thing I want to say, starting up, still continuing to number 9. It doesn't have to come to this. Nobody's happy with it. It's not a good place to work anymore. It's a constant downer. And I just want to say that. That's my take on it. That's all I want to say about it. As far as water and wastewater services, we did do a second release of the ponds. I did a 3-day release just to get them down to where we consider a safe summer, depending on if we get a lot of rain or whatever, but anyway, that came out good. The Minnesota fluoridation law, they dropped, we now have an option of dropping down to 0.4%, I believe it is, Jeremy.
Yeah, 0.5 to 0.9. Milligrams per liter now versus where we typically were at, what, about 1.2? So we could almost cut that in half. The way I look at it, it's an opinion for fluoride. I mean, everybody kind of has an opinion on fluoride. I mean, when you think about it, you're adding an acid to the water and it's basically for your teeth.
Right.
But almost there. Everything, your toothpaste and all that has fluoride in it,
You've got all your other items that are
right.
More concentrated than
natural groundwater. Okay. 4% just coming out of the wells.
still, we can abide by the reduction.
And the way I look at it,
you still got to do some.
It's up to council whether they want to do
right.
It. Like I said, they have now given us that option to drop that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can keep it where it's at, or we can drop it. It will be, I don't know, kind of the cost savings. That's the extra cost.
It's not cheap, I will tell you that.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way I look at it, anywhere, if the Department of Health, which is supposed to be, you know, overseeing our better, judge betterment here, you know, I think we should drop it down, get it into that 0.7 range for sorting between, gives us a little leeway. And, you know, the way I look at it, it's a cost savings to the city.
It's something we would need in a public hearing.
I don't think. I think you just have to apply for it here with this form. It's just do a variance request.
I'm going to be moving forward. I'm going to be moving forward with the variance request to the Minnesota rule. 4720.00.
Motion made and seconded to go along with the recommendation on the fluoride in the water. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Period. I think it's just a matter of, I'm just going to start tweaking the pumps here. So once we do it, it's going to be a lot of dollars. Part-time swimmer help, Mel Sprangler is on board, working out very good. Mel's already on the lawnmower. Takes care of it, you know, holds it off when he's done and everything. Like I said, checking the oil, everything. He's doing a good job. It's allowing me to get some other projects done. I'm going to put another water leak on the power clip.
Is it hydrant?
What's that?
Is it hydrant? Is that what that you mean? Or was there another problem?
The one where the dump site.
The dump site?
Yeah. Yeah. What ended up happening there is what I thought. When I went to repair it, there was a hose amp laying in the curb. It came off the camper. Broke off the camper. So what ended up happening is somebody came down and dumped, had their hose hooked up with the thing yet, probably filling their tank. And it used to happen in the other part of the building, so I found it very stressful to fight and crack.
Wow.
Cracked the knife, broke the knife. So, anyway, I dug that up and repaired that. It doesn't look like we're going to be doing any work at the parking lot down there. But just one thing in the future I was going to bring up, and this is what we did when I worked at Carver County. People who didn't camp there would stop there to dump. They charged $5. So basically, it would be a suggestion. Somebody lives in town.
Fine.
But fill that up and key it, because Sunday Jeremy said there were 6 campers in line.
In the 20 minutes I was here doing rounds.
That all came from Redstock. Last year at Leaf Fest, they were lined up down the road across the tracks. Everybody comes and dumps them and they fill a 100 or 200 gallon tank. We're all paying for water. They're not. Just a suggestion.
You know, I've never really seen that many.
Oh, there's campers there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're not homeless people.
Yeah. I think the word's gotten out. Yeah. People are like, oh, look, free service in Hamburg. He's got to go to Hamburg.
Yeah. I don't have to pay. You watch them, they all go down, they take a left on 25 and go that way. So, you know, we're dealing with it. Hopefully they don't dump something bad in there that goes out to the farms and screws up the ecosystem. Like I said, just maybe a suggestion.
How would you recommend it?
Putting a lock on there?
Put a lock on it. It's ponds people, just like the ponds, you come up and get the key, you dump them, you bring it back.
Okay.
And like I said, I mean, I don't have an issue providing that to ponds people, but I don't think we should be taking everybody else's.
It seems it's getting carried away.
It is getting carried away, yeah. There's somebody there 2-3 times a week and a lot of friends that don't recognize the people. So, like I said, people just come out and dump the door again. Like I said, we're, you know, a water isn't cheap in Hamburg, and you know, you got the gray water tank and you got the clean water tank. Well, okay, so you dump the gray, you flush that out, so that's city water right there. And then you go and fill your 100-gallon tank for next week's camping trip, that's $100. So just a suggestion, I don't know what you guys are
thinking. I guess I have to say I didn't know it was that extreme.
Yeah,
I see someone from around town here.
Yeah.
But I've never seen a line down.
Oh, it's getting quite.
So word is spreading here.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah.
That's what happened. Yeah.
So how
do I mean, I had a gal call me last week. She had family up. They live in town. They brought a camper up. She was wondering if they could possibly dump. I didn't have a problem with it because they live in town. They do that. But like I said, like, you know, Jeremy said just on Sunday morning, he was doing rounds. There were six of them there.
And they weren't small campers.
Yeah.
And they weren't local, you don't think?
Or? No, that I seen Green Isle Fire Department. On there.
White Chevy?
I don't remember. I just remember.
Well,
I didn't get no license plates.
Last year on V-Fest, they were literally down the road and up by Speeds and around the corner. And they were, yeah. And we didn't have a... I mean, they're getting so big they have a hard time making the corner, so then they're going to cut over the grass and it's soft, it's all rutted up and stuff.
Oh, would we lock that or move that up? Oh, what's the process?
I think when we did the parking lot, we talked to Justin about when they reshape that they create that a lock can be on the cover.
Yeah.
On the dump. The only thing is the water.
You basically, know, it's you have to probably flip cover on the mm-hmm. surface and you got it.
Okay, but the water part of it, you can't really...
Water part of it, you can't, but that ties in with the $5 of the dump.
Yeah.
You know, if you pay $5, you dump your sewer, and then if, I guess if you fill your thing, because if you dump, you got to rinse out the water tank.
Yeah.
But like I said, that's what ended up breaking the line, because the piece off the camper was pinched and broken in there, so it's in the veil. We had to
refer to somebody else. I mean, I guess the way I look at it is me and Chris talked about this. It'd be like the neighbor, you know, going over and going, yeah, I need to fill my pool. I'll just hook it up to Chris's over here, turn on his spigot and fill up my pool. You know, it's kind of...
He's out of town.
You know, it's kind of... You know, I wouldn't do that. I'm just saying, you know, it's kind of that scenario there where, you know, you got the residents that are, you know, paying a good amount for water and...
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said, if you got a 200, and you got...
I think it's something we talked to Justin about, make sure it's in the mm-hmm. recorder.
I'll talk to him.
Yeah, but...
I mean, it's just, it's something that, it's just a suggestion. I don't care if you guys can do what you want, but I do know that, like I said, the cost of water and stuff, and you get some of these big campers, they got some big tanks on.
I think that the park is going to be addressed this year, because the second lift was like a $10,000 deal, which would be in spring.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. I'm 99% sure that is going to mm-hmm. be addressed and mm-hmm. we can get that handled this year.
Yeah.
Do we figure out where to strike a check? That there was two different...
Yeah, we approved that.
That was approved.
Two council.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Two meetings ago.
All right. Good idea.
Yeah. I just said one other thing that... Just a comment on the blacktop, the parking lot. I know several times I hear people in the city come to me and say, well, we don't need to take care of that park, we need to take care of the streets first. Yes, we do. But my feeling on the parking lot is, number one, for renting the park out, which I think it's rented out for graduation, birthday parties, this and that, we need to maintain what we have. Number two, that park doesn't just get used for Summerfest. Three or four nights a week, kids ball down. There's not a lot of parking. Kids jump out of the cars and run right across the street. I've had to break several times. Then we got big Miller's trucks, we got UFC trucks, we got motorcycles. It's just something that's going to happen eventually. Well, to me, it's a safety deal. Yes, we need to take care of the streets first, but we can't forget about the parking lot. That's my goal on that.
Well, I clued everybody in at work yesterday morning about taking it easy.
Yeah.
Coming in town and
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just saying, I myself have had to brake several times, and it's like, I can stop my truck fast, but to use bigger vehicles.
It's right in town here, too, right by the post office.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's flying across.
Yeah, that's not, yeah, that's my affair. That's the connection there. Yeah, they pulled up there.
So anyhow.
Okay. Hold on.
Greg, before you move on, okay, sorry to butt in, but back to Greg's license. At the council meeting, it was approved for May 18th, and I don't know, I guess it's up to council, but I was looking to have it for May 11th, the wrong date got forwarded, because that would have been the paid period, and the way I look at it, he passed it really in April, got notification May 4th or whatever it was, 5th, so what I was looking to have it the 11th, instead we did the 18th. You know, we approved. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not a lot, but yet it's a week. I mean, he did pass his test, was talked about. I think, in fairness, he should get it at right after he passed, not, you know. Because that was that. For me, it's easier, too, because that was the pay period. Started May 11th, so it would have been the next pay period. I guess that's just my thought. So I'd ask that Odoms amend his motion and Gregonis second it, that it'd be his $1 pay raise for his Class D sewer license would be effective May 11th.
So amended.
Thank you.
Second.
Carried.
Aye.
Okay, all in favor? Opposed? Correct? Carried. Carried.
Next thing is community hall repairs. That's in front of you.
Yep.
The Ritzy construction one, that is basically, he would come there, he would take an inch and a half and foam off it, basically foam it, and then coat it. With talking to him, since that's happened, our values have changed. Also, I got concerned about that because, basically when that foam leaks, it becomes like a big sponge, takes in water, everything's wet underneath it, that isn't taken off completely, dried, and the metal taken care of that's rusted or rotted through. Number one, the holes are just going to get bigger in the metal. Number two, we're just putting a band-aid on it. That's going to come back to get us in the long run. I have talked with him. He also does the rubber roof like the other two that we have here. But he said he threw a bunch of numbers around and stuff, and he said he really didn't come up with anything for it. And I called him again today just to say, you know, I need it by 5 o'clock today. And he said he was on vacation and he wouldn't be able to, but he also had a good point. The roof, the Boston construction said it to the metal roof on there where it comes down onto the flat. They were going to re-coat that just to tie it in with the new roof, because he said water can go anywhere. Boss noted that some of the fasteners are coming loose on there, and you can actually, obviously said too, you can actually see a little of the paper underneath there. So, regardless of which one you go with, that might still need that spray coat from the top on down to that roof. This Jason I just said to, he said, depending on what you guys do, he said he'd also be willing to just do that part of it or whatever. I don't know.
Does that get you have to submit a new proposal because it says this one is only valid until April 16th?
Well,
it's not.
Yeah. I mean, this one here isn't actually
apples to apples to the other two.
It's not apples to apples, and I believe now that the R value changed now, the rules on the R value. So, I don't even think this would even be valid anyway because there wouldn't be enough foam for the R value change.
So you think we shouldn't even consider it?
I wouldn't consider that one. You know, I talked to him about it and he said he wasn't aware of the rule change and stuff, and I don't know if that's statewide or is it?
It'd be state building code, so okay. What you get into is the metro area. Every city in the metro area has to adopt the state building code, and then cities over, I think, is it 2,500? So, like, if you're outside the metro area and you're under a certain population, you don't have to even have a building code.
Yeah,
well, it's humorous how it's called state building code, but yet.
Yeah, see, that's why, you know, he wasn't aware that we fall under that. As far as I'm concerned, we got some rust on the roof for a few years, and you're not going to take that off because you're going to have a good problem. You can't get that noise down there, and it's just going to be a bigger problem in the future. I mean, it needs to be taken off, and wherever the rust needs to be treated, or if it needs to be a family place or whatever, so be it. So when you look at the other two bins, that's kind of in there. The warranty on the foam was a 12-year. This is a 20-year for the rubber roof. So,
and that's what Kevin's shoulder's got? That's a rubber roof for him there?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's and it's a welded rubber. Probably described as a white.
Okay.
And that way it doesn't attract heat, it reflects heat.
I see they got a high point of 41. R value, that's an addition of $2,400. Now, what is the R value that we have to have? Is it 32 or 35?
I'm not sure they just changed it.
I have a memo on it. I'll dig it up once. I know I got a memo from Inspect.
And Bosses, they don't have the content wrap roof, half the column coated.
Yeah.
And Kevin does. Can you ever use that stuff? Yeah. Content wrap roof.
That's basically the spray coating.
Yeah.
Provide crickets to four scuppers. What the hell is a scupper?
The scupper is the grain scuppers. There's actually four grains.
Oh, those holes?
Side of the, it's like the cutouts.
Okay.
Where the water goes down into the
gutter. Maybe they're a grain cutout. I didn't know they were.
I kept on the terminology.
Yeah, that's what that is.
I thought you had bugs too yet before.
Well, quiet.
But neither one of these bids have replacing the tin or replacing steel underneath the car or the foam.
Well, evidently they're not planning on replacing anything.
Well, they know they have to, though.
I bet you.
There's spots
you
that.
Have to replace half of that metal on that roof.
Yeah.
That's why this 40,000 is generally right. That's maybe half. I bet you that steel is going to be replaced up there.
Well, where we seen that steel was on the east wall.
Yeah.
Along there. Where the actual leaks are occurring, that's where we're getting most of the. Because when we pop the ceiling tile out, then the shower actually stuck a key right through it.
Yeah.
Down from the so we know that there's going to be something on that end. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're aware of that, both of them.
Yeah.
But they don't have anything on here.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, they're aware of it. That's, I told them, I said, you know, we probably need some metal work on there, depending on, you know, once everything is taken off, you don't really know until you take it off.
Right.
Yeah.
Because right now there's foam and there's tar, and they basically foamed over the old tar roof that time, and then underneath that is the brown insulation board. And like I said, that stuff now is all wet and soaked. So that's like when he stuck his key through, that was all wet.
Right, that, I see that on here. It must be the, is that a rhino or whatever?
I don't know. The
high density fiber board, I would imagine that's what that is.
Yeah. I don't like the brown stuff we used to put on homes before they put the siding on.
Yeah. Now, do you have any preference by listening to these two? As in ideas, quality, whatever?
Do you know, Greg, on Voss's, provide 20-year manufacturer's warranty, would that include labor? Would you think? Because over here we got, you know, 20-year material, 10-year labor.
Yeah, that's on the K&S.
So that can be a big difference too, you know?
Yeah, that's maybe something
we have
to call that.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like we got a couple points of clarification.
Right. So I guess you got a couple of things to give them a call. Then.
Yeah. Come out of metal, that might both be just kind of material.
Yeah.
At least you can ask them.
Yeah. I would ask Wassey.
So we know what we're going into.
I would ask Wassey if he could come up with an additional, get it up to a R41.
Well, that's a high point.
Yeah. But the more, if you put
but you got a low point of 20.
Yeah, but if you put it in your roof, that's just going to be more heat you're going to save inside.
Well, 35 to me already is pretty.
That's pretty good. What is a, well, yeah. Home used to be what, R19?
Oh, I don't know. I got more than
that. You're looking at.
So, I mean, the 35 would be, I think, more than,
yeah,
you know, insufficient. Heck, we wouldn't know what to do with saving all the money then.
It'd be a tree out back and pick money off, mm-hmm, you know.
So I guess you got some questions to ask them.
Yeah. Do you want these have a spot where they could get at it? No. When would be the best time, Jeremy?
Right now?
Right now, yeah.
Right now till August, first weekend in August?
First is our first
Yeah.
Week.
And did he say anything what kind of a time it would take to do such a project?
No. That would be another question.
Granted, they don't know what they're going to all get into, but a rough idea would be...
Timeline and, I guess, availability.
Because
mm-hmm, they probably don't want an open roof when we have a wedding reception.
Well, it's another shower, right?
Ah, good one.
Anyway.
One is Parks and Open Shelter.
Do you want to touch base on the shop?
What's that?
You want to touch base on the shop?
Well, the shop, basically, maybe first we got to fix it because water's running down. It's running down. You know, we're going to have we're sleeping in the hall now, the paneling is buckling. Basically run down through the walls. The sheetrock is now the paper's letting loose, like the stairs are going up and down and starting. So, basically we gotta start from the top now. Kurt and I are actually going to, I'm gonna try and rent a
wet saw.
Cement saw, yeah, like a wet saw. The drains are not draining down there, but Kurt has a little sump pump deal that will go in the drain, so as we're sawing, it'll actually take it out of the drains and we'll bring it together. Kind of got the pipes located there now where they gotta go, and then with meeting with Lenny Silvers, I know where you need to run that. Mm-hmm. The bulkhead. First, you need to cut the concrete, bulkhead it off, and then we're gonna run it over. We're gonna tie it into the bathroom drain, which goes into the sanitary sewer. So, like I said, I guess the first thing you gotta do, you gotta fix your roof, because that's where all the water's coming down, walls and everything. And then, at the same time, like I said, I could hopefully now with Mel on board and stuff, I could get some concrete up to take care of that drainage issue down there. And then once those two things are done, then we'll use mold remediation or whatever you call it to take care of that, because it's okay to do that before we get all the leaks taken care of. We're only doing it twice, and I'm pretty sure that's not going to be a cheap deal. So, kind of need a haul of that. So,
are we going to have a company come in and do that, take all the stuff out with the mold on it, or do you try to do that yourself, or how is that going to work?
I'm not aware.
I'm not believing it. No.
No, we got to get a company to do that. That's
I guess before we do any of these other things, do we want to have someone come in and strip the shop? At least get the mold out of there?
At least tear all the sheetrock and everything and get the see what it was and stuff treated. So, and yet, at the very least, we can pull the sheetrock out of there. That's what we enjoy.
Right.
The
mold
is made.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. Okay. When do you get to that?
Service Pro, or what's the other one?
Service Master.
Jeremy, did we get any quotations from those two class for prices?
Yeah, that was last year. Yeah, so.
I think you have a valid idea to get in there, get that stuff on there, the sooner the better. The longer you wait, the more it's going to cost.
Well, Service Pro and Service Master, whatever deals that way. They're probably limited to who deals in that, because you probably need some type of specialist to deal with asbestos stuff.
You got to be wrong.
And mold, and it's just like asbestos, I'm sure, with mold stuff. Yeah, I'll make them phone calls. Get them out here.
Back to the park?
Yes.
During shelter at the park, will be the south side, the side on the ball field that the sun always hits. The shingles are bad shape, really curling bad. It's something we're going to need to probably get some bids on to get that thing made up. And then there's also some metal that, with the winds and stuff, we had some of the spacious office stuff that's earlier in the year.
They did lunch here, didn't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just looking for, okay, you get bids on it, then you get a couple of bids from
people. Mm-hmm.
And then the big building, the Lions building, we had a guy come in, tried to pick some of the fasteners at our town, get them from Wrecking More Metal, and he was doing good. And, anyway, still leaks. So, I don't know what the answer is with that. Do we try and pound on the old ass in the back and have the thing coated, like you do with the big one up there, or, you can't take it any faster because you're making bigger holes in the metal. It's it was nailed instead of screwed, and the nails are working themselves off. When he goes to pull them off, it's bending and tearing them out, so you got a bigger hole yet. But on the rain, it just runs in that building in several spots. So I don't know where we are going with that.
Maybe we need gutters on the inside.
One bigger. Trade it for the farm there. I don't know. You know, we had a couple of graduations down there. We left all the way down the drain, but otherwise the serving tables would have gotten that.
You gotta get a hold of that damn Chalmers. He does have, like, I think, Benjamin said that they're gonna do that Conklin stuff. Maybe that would be just good to bid on. See what it cost. If that was a good idea, maybe he's got a different idea.
Yeah, that's a, you know, what I can talk to him about that. Yeah. And just, you know, sort of the thing is, who's the guy that we had up there?
Danny?
For?
To do it when he was going to try and fix the...
Oh, for the Elfke?
Elfke, yeah. He just basically said he really didn't know, you know, he was just doing more damage than good by trying to get the old ones out, and it was tearing the metal and bending the metal, and, you know, so I don't know if Palm all the loose gas or challenge to put a coating over it, that should take care of it. Baseball park. We got a catch basin down there. It runs right along the wall of UFC. And I don't know why, but that catch basin is really weak to begin with. And it takes a lot of water that comes out of like UFC and everything and comes across the blacktop. It's kind of a hazard. People drive down there, don't know what's there, drop the cars in and get hung up. What's happening now is the water's swirling underneath the blacktop, and there's like a big open crevice underneath.
Where is this again?
Baseball park
right along the, when you come in by the UFC building.
Along the third baseline?
Wall there. You got that cement wall. Right next to that cement wall is a big catch basin.
Oh, further towards the grandstand.
Yeah.
For the grandstand.
That one that's about a foot and a half, too.
Yeah, it's really deep. I don't know why it's that deep. I was there put that because there's plenty of fall there. But what ends up happening is, you know, Dr. Manel, he's part of the baseball team and stuff. He said people that may have fallen in there, cars drop their tires in there and stuff. I guess I'm looking at maybe have like Miller or somebody basically take that blacktop out, put a couple of lips in there, lift rings, and raise the thing up, but it doesn't need to be a foot and a half, 2 feet deep. It's definitely a fall coming off the lot, and which would be a lot safer, you know, not dropping somebody in there, or maybe even a hundred pieces, I'll get it. It's, but anyway, it should be raised up, and then probably blacked out for a moment, because right now it's blocking underneath the blacktop, so we're going to have bigger issue when the blacktop starts to be.
Yeah, the sinkhole.
Yeah, that's exactly what's going to happen. It's going to address it, so.
Well, I'm going to talk to Bradley or whatever.
Because when they come down and take a look at it to see what's up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I put a couple of rings on it, so that rings that bring it up to get down to 36 inches deep, that should be plenty. I don't get it. It doesn't have to be a foot and a half.
No.
It's a hazard over there now, so. Pretty much all I got.
In my mind, Beezer called me Sunday morning. Do you think, I don't know how.
I can't explain it.
Huh?
So I can't explain that.
It's got to do with, they, you know, water filling the tank. They're Yeah. All the water.
Coming from? He's the only one that's got it. Is it stirring the place or from right here?
Well, that's got to be a dead end.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is there a hydrant?
Right here.
Yeah.
Maybe we should just flush it once a month.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
I guess. I know they've been hauling quite a bit of water out.
Yeah.
And it's probably stirring it up.
If it isn't doing it
when they're not drawing water,
yeah,
there's, to me, is a tie together.
Yeah.
Something's getting stirred.
Yeah, well, all I would fill pools, I mean, I could look at my numbers. We go through a lot of water when we fill pools. I mean, I told Jeremy that when you guys said that we collected for this.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy crap, I mean, it's just 1,000 gallons, and we normally go through 35. So,
well, we got 2,500 alone for gallons.
Yeah. I guess I just didn't realize where all the water was going or what was going on. But I suppose when you're down that much out, you probably, you got rust in your pipes and everything else. It's probably smelling or anything like that, how much water is in. I guess I haven't heard of any other complaints. So.
You know, I've never heard from him either, and he said this has been going on for years. I guess I never.
I was surprised when he brought me in there, but I don't think that, you know,
the good thing is it. It clears up, so obviously it's a disruption in the system.
Yeah.
As I said, maybe a simple thing in summer, if we flush once a month, that might, I don't know.
Might take care of it.
This is Shane.
And go. Oh, this is right. So I guess he's got something valid if it's coming out of the pipes.
Well, Beezer said he had it analyzed. Did he say exactly what was in it? I mean, did he give you any kind of report or anything?
No.
Nothing bad. Either.
Nothing harmful.
Oh, yeah, that tells me nothing.
Well, it tells you.
They'd probably still boil that, but.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want to take a shower with that or wash my dishes with, like you said.
Or your white clothes.
Well, yeah, that'll be real nice.
What got me was he said he makes coffee with that. If you know it's that like that coming out of the tap, why would you make more coffee?
Well, you already let it run.
Yeah, he's like, I wouldn't drink coffee.
You don't need as many gallons.
Yeah, I guess I could.
Anyway.
I'm actually going to take that with me.
So I was going to say, show Kurt and run it by him and see.
Yeah.
Get his two cents.
Maybe it's just by which dead end, you know. Maybe it is from that more water going on at one time. It's actually scalding the pipe or something like that. That might just be us or something. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
I should have asked him if it creates air, if he ever gets air in his line too then.
And if some of us are working down in Carver, if we'd ever want some rock, sometime would be a prime time to bring it whatever the time for the alley.
Oh, I hauled 12 kilos and stuff.
Oh.
From Gene Spirit talked to me, whatever, and several times, and I mentioned something to Brad over there. Gene had just said with the bigger trucks, he said, I have a tendency to square by and stuff, and I said, oh, if you guys got better out here, I said, I got the trucks, so T111E and I spread the little ones in
there. Good.
Okay. I think I'm going to use 11 more, we're good and stuff.
Well, this is actually the first couple of days that I've had it, so that's what I asked. I didn't know.
Yeah, no, he loaded me up and stuff.
Wonderful.
That's good.
All right. Anything else for Greg?
Did gravel ever get clicked on there by the dumpster? By the
long time ago.
This spring, two loads I think were put in there.
Mm-hmm.
Three.
We got them.
That's actually
pushed it in.
Yeah, and it rains. You know, you got a little water to stand there, but it's not. You know, before it was just, you would fall away. No,
it's pretty solid.
It's solid, yeah.
How is the dumpster? Good?
We'll need a new one shortly. Yeah, it's to the point now I can't push it up. But
okay.
Dump a little bit of size on it, so, yeah. Shortly,
you know, that's one real dark spot to it. People can't figure out how to do anything.
We talked about putting a sign up for it with instructions, but
attention, people who don't know nothing. Or?
I would. People ask me if we could make some kind of a, like we got the stairs going to the camp trailer. If we could make stairs there. That were like on, you know, I had like two wheels or something and a handle that you can actually roll the stairs so they can dump over the sides. And here's what happens. We get, what we did was, that was dug out before, and the reason that was dug out was so that they could run them dumpsters down in there,
mm-hmm.
so that Dennis could drive up inside of them to push them up. All that was just a big water hole then. Held water, and mosquitoes really fit everything in this nasty stunk, mosquitoes. So anyway, we filled that up, raised everything up. I put new boards on the park benches for the team players. A lot of them were getting rotten and were all busted off and that. What I did was I took, I don't think anybody's been down, but I took the old boards, and I saw it, and I made ramps. And so that way I could get up in there. I guess what gets me is sometimes people just don't get it. You got an empty dumpster. You come with a 50-gallon bag. Don't dump it right on the end. Lock that 50
yeah.
feet and dump it in there. Or they come with a trailer and just dump it right out there. Well, regardless, it's just a big pain in my butt because it's a lot of extra work and I got to go down. Scoop up what I can, shovel the rest of it.
Right, because you can't get between those rooms.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I don't know. It's just...
Dumbness.
It'll never change, yeah.
Dumbness.
Yeah, so...
You know what you should do is get a trail camera or something. You know, when we find the dummies.
What upsets me is the brush that gets thrown in there, the branches, because then I got to go and dig that all out, and then you got to crawl and that stuff.
And it says, no.
Yeah, there's a big sign there.
It.
Yeah, it's just part of the trailer.
You know, it's going to get to the point where that service is going to go away.
Yeah.
And then, who's going to cry to a lot of us? The ones probably who...
The biggest violators.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, it just... you know, common courtesy, whatever, if you got a dumpster and you got it in a bag, carry it the extra 15 feet and dump it to the back. Don't just dump it right in the inside. Or some people just dump it right on the ground.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know.
Is there a way to put a, on the water bills, how many lines can you put? One or two?
One.
One, like, and
we talked about it, but we figured we better not omit Zummerfest this month, so.
Well, one thing too is we could, the blowing grass clippings.
I put that on the city sign.
You know. And then I would have something about, you know, kind of.
We talked about that.
Use your
the
head.
Ponds.
The ponds for, because a lot of new people that are in town don't believe know that they, well, they don't even know that there's ponds out there. Plus they don't know that there's a 5-acre brush pile that can't do a good shit. But,
Lightning.
Lightning, yeah. That'd be great.
See once when the thunderstorm is coming.
Yeah, like I said, I've been trying to get somebody to check us, but anyway, I don't believe they know that there's pets out there because you drive around town and you got brush piles in people's yards. You know, I see it like 100 meters in that. I don't think that they know that that's out there, so, you know, I talked to Jeremy about that possible flyer or put it on the thing or put it on the water bill. You know, don't blow your grass clippings on the street, it floods the sewer. Don't dump your brush in the thing.
Yeah.
You know, common sense, please go from the back forward.
Maybe a mailer would not hurt.
Yeah.
And then a little thing on the bottom. If things don't change, things
this
could
may
be
go away.
Go away.
I mean, it is a lot of extra work. It really is. You know, you pretty much got to go down there 2-3 times a week. And,
When I get there, then I have to hoist the stuff over the side, and those bags aren't that real light.
Yeah. And that's why some people suggested, if you had like the steps there, that at least you could walk up and dump it kind of like with your hands. And I don't really know what the answer is. Regardless, if you do that, some people still aren't going to use it. So
no.
It's just
for somebody to carry a how many yard bag of damp grass clippings, which is quite heavy, up steps yet. That's what we have.
Yeah, that's true.
I'd probably end up on the side.
Then we got liability again.
Screw it!
I got all the other steps.
Yeah. I got one, the jetter. What's happening with that?
Oh, Greg just gave me a description. So we'll be putting something in Rural Water League.
Okay.
And wherever we can, so
otherwise,
we finally got something drafted up.
Otherwise, you got to have the trailer. We're going to put on
trailer, a sprayer.
Sprayer.
Is that? No.
Well, we got the old scene sprayer.
Yeah.
We get to list that too, the sprayer?
I suppose that could be I don't think it's going to be more than a $50 bill.
You probably spend more than half.
Yeah, that's why I put that in there. People are going to think it's some big use, like it's not a little 20-gallon drum, and it's broke and everything else. So
well, you know what, then? Pitch it.
Recycle it.
Save some pieces that you might use and the rest gone.
Yeah, it don't matter to me, I don't care.
I mean, I was surprised I looked in the bills here, we had a put a little help on, but $154?
It's ridiculous.
My goodness.
Insane.
For
part-time
summertime help. We'll add the paper, 150 some bucks.
I'm just gonna put part-time help, call Hamburg, 952-467-3232.
So I mean,
who's getting paid that much for part-time?
No, but I'm saying,
to
put an ad in for it's going to cost us $100 to get $50 for something isn't going to make any sense.
Not a good yield there.
No.
One in.
I didn't know if you
were going to do it, but.
I didn't know if you were going to put that on a jetter on a sealed bid thing like the other ones or like a trailer.
Yeah. Sealed bids. Just to keep it kosher. Yeah.
Okay. Anything else?
Do we have to make a motion for the lights out in the fire hall?
Oh, we got those two bids.
Yeah.
We should handle that here quick too. I guess Rob's did come in the cheapest.
Rob's a little bit cheaper, yeah.
Well,
and they had the lights in. The other one had the lamps with reflectors, but no bulbs.
But Rob's is $1,300 and Extreme.
It's $1,365.
But the bulbs are, I think 1190 and 175, so that's
1365.
Well, did they want the other set? Did Justin want that or just the switches?
I think he wants the other light too, don't he?
And the light put over there.
Yeah, that was,
I had them both rated as an alternate.
Yeah. But see, on Extremes, they don't have bulbs in. They just got reflectors, it says. No bulbs.
Excel, or Rob, who's got balls. And I suppose the collectors too.
I would think that the fixtures probably would include bulbs.
They don't say that. Mm-hmm. That's what the word says.
Well, you know, Rob's is the cheapest anyway. I guess we talked about it. We've got our bids, and I'm going to put it on for the next one.
I move we do it with Rob's.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to grant Rob's.
What are we doing?
Yeah.
As per estimate.
Both?
The light and the
switches.
Yep. There's been motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Well, if you want to get a hold of Rob's, Greg. All right. Anything else? Thank you. Jeremy.
All I got is the business resumption plan from the bank. How we did this back in 2008, it was the same type of concept. It was just a letter. I have no issues with it. My only thing would be is if we do a motion to approve it, that we approve it. But in case of an emergency, city has priority over the use of the community center.
Yeah, the bank does?
No, city.
City,
well,
just that we clarify that, you know.
It's going to have to be a pretty big disaster because a brick building is going to be a little more resilient than up here, I would think. And we're further southwest than they are.
But we got to turn this into Command Central.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have...
Right, we got to have the run on.
Right.
And then, you know what? They would...
Bobby, make that motion.
I make a motion to approve the letter to continue the contract with the bank for the extreme weather problem.
Business resumption plan?
Yeah. Okay.
And that the city is still in charge.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to go along with the business resumption plan from the bank. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Health insurance renewal. Right now looking at about 4.7% increase for the renewal in December 2015.
I guess that's better than it was last year.
Yeah.
I'm so worried about you read the paper.
Get it locked in at 4.7 because from what I hear, it could go up as much as 50% after the first of next year.
Yeah.
In some places,
they're 75%.
They're gearing up. Yeah, they're gearing up for huge increases again.
You know what? It's going to get to the point nobody can afford.
Can you say recession?
Socialized medicine is the only thing that's going to save this country, but it'll never happen because too many doctors make too much money this way.
Wow. Yeah.
So when does this have to be sent out?
We got time. It won't have to be until, I'd say, latest November. We probably want to do it 30 days. Well, actually, if we just renew with them, we can do it anytime, so just as long as it's before December.
Okay.
Otherwise, usually you need 30 days, but, well, it'll be a budget. It's just informational. We'll get into it more on the budget. Jaguar. It's like trying to catch a jaguar to talk to these people.
Yeah.
I have left numerous messages with this. Who's our contact now is this Jonathan Rod. And basically all he's told me is they're still evaluating what they're going to do with the fiber optic line.
You think they would have done that before you put it in, you know?
So are they going to let us know when they're done evaluating, or are they just going
on
the
phone? Supposed to be getting back to me this week, and I'll keep on them. But when we had that Rick Hansen, I had no issues, but this guy is ridiculous.
Well, let's just put it this way.
And then I've talked to some other guy in marketing, and he's like, well, that's not my... You have to
don't spend too
Jonathan
much of your
Rob.
Time on it. It's kind of, it seems like it's almost a...
Well, I
mean, the ball's in their court, it sounds like to me, but...
City of Norwood, and it sounds like they're trying to work, you know, a franchise agreement with them. And it's going to kind of, you know, PO me if they're going to go to Norwood and skip us when they all along have told me that they're going to start here and work that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we're getting skipped because we're a smaller market or what. I'd like at least some explanation as to, you know.
I said it's going to be lame. I've heard from Norwood. You know, we went to
the recent couple
of weeks ago.
I don't know.
Their trucks have been in town, so.
I don't know what's going on. I'm a pony, too, I know. So, I don't know if we're just getting the cold shoulder again or what.
Well, keep on it.
Is there any rumblings about CenturyLink? Because you know they're going to Minneapolis now with cable TV.
Yeah, I've heard that, but I don't know when that'll be out here. I haven't heard nothing on that with them.
And?
Street parking. Someone came to me with an inquiry about parking their semi on the street over for the weekend, and I had already kind of touched base with Dick on this month, and unless council has any objections, I thought for the weekend they could just park it up here, that way they don't have to worry about the 12-hour parking on Route 50, and it's right by the stop sign, just not a good spot. So the concept was to avoid that, that they could, as long as there's no rentals or anything up here, they could park it up here.
Yeah.
It would be for July 17th. Sorry, July 17th to the 19th. And it'd probably only be like half day, Sunday. You'd be leaving Sunday after lunch.
So if you want to spread the word to them.
And then just, we all know how fast summer comes and goes. National Night Out isn't that far away.
No.
So, another thing to start thinking of, and if we keep the same concept, I'm fine with that. We can...
Oh, okay.
Mostly some change now. Mm-hmm. Just repeat what we've done.
Yeah.
It's not a special year for hamburger or anything like that.
No.
Steve, charge your corn.
Yeah. You get the corn, or me and Dick will get the supplies, and...
Still got the guy's name there.
Where's he?
I got it.
Bible, right?
I got the guy in
Glencoe
and
that one over
here.
So
two contacts
now. We're getting well known. Yeah. So keep that. We'll probably be brought up next meeting too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to bring it up so we. Just by next meeting.
Here we go. Again.
It's too late. Almost.
It's always a good time.
What else you got?
That's all I got. I'll get into, if you want to get into that now or under the claims,
okay.
We can do it now too. The special assessment, bridge joint ditch 3A, so basically it was the ditch by the ballpark. So they did some work and some vegetation on that. And so basically we got assessed $6,253.61.
I thought we just did that last year. What was on that?
Well, it wasn't the assessment, but that's what it brought, put in the packet that they were going to do this.
Oh. Basically, they're giving us a payment for buffer strip, and then they're taking that off the assessment.
Yeah.
But the assessment was $7,400. $25.61. We got a credit of $11.72.
Yeah, and I guess my only thing was is if we should just pay this in full and avoid the interest and be done with it.
Make it go away.
Yeah.
So we'll add that on
the claims list, yes.
Is it on there? It will be.
It will be, but and then while we're on that, I might as well just bring up, we got a bill for Countryside Vet. This went on when I was on vacation, and it is a rigmarole. We got a bill for $384. And the way it sounds is a resident had a dog. This, I don't know for sure, but this is how it sounds. If you kind of put the story together. They brought the animal in because they couldn't handle it and then claimed it was a stray, so then they would have to pay for it or deal with it. Now we're getting fitting the bill for $384. I'm even questioning the bill because I asked, well, did the dog end up getting put down? They said, no, it's actually a really nice dog. Someone, we were able to find it at home, blah, blah, blah. I was like, great. But on the bill, unless there's a charge for $84 for euthanasia and $58 for cremation or something. I said, well, I'm sure not paying that when we didn't get that service. And two, I even questioned, you know, I don't know if it's a thing we eat or live and learn. I still need to talk because this just came in today and I've been dealing with Countryside, but I also want to call the community service officer because we never got a report and nothing was authorized from the city. So I have some issues there. But yet you talked to a CSO which said our ordinance doesn't define ownership, so it's our problem. And I'm like, really?
When it happened.
So then, when I decide I don't like my dog, I can just make up a story and say, yeah, found this dog on the side of the road. Can you come pick it up?
This dog doesn't happen to have a chip in it, does it?
I don't think so. To me, it seems like the family took it in. It bit one of the kids.
Didn't draw blood, but nipped it.
It almost seems like they got the dog. Not for us. Let's punt it off on the city.
Well, didn't they want to get it?
Yeah.
Neutered?
Then I called when this had happened to get more information because I was questioning it. And it was brought to my attention that they think the same dog was brought in earlier.
A week earlier.
And asked to be spayed. Like, I want my dog spayed or neutered, whichever
they wanted it done that day.
And they had said, we don't do that on the spot. So they gave them an estimate, and they said, when we give estimates, we give estimates for absolutely everything we would do that day. They can choose what gets done. The one owner took it home, said I would discuss it with my spouse. And then about a week later, the dog got impounded, and the doctor said, I think that's the dog that was in last week. That the family claimed
to be pictures too?
There. Yeah. The dog's picture was on their website, and they had me go on there, and I verified that I've seen that dog.
Did the dog have a chip, you know?
No, they didn't say if it did or not. But they did. I did know that this was the dog that I've seen with this resident for quite.
And they admitted some they
time.
Had it. One time they admitted they had it a month.
Right.
Another time in conversation, they admitted they had it 2 months.
When the owner,
so they kind of admitted that they had it.
For the spayed or neutered, he had said, we've had them for about 2 months. But then when it got turned in, it said, well, it was a stray, we've only had it about a month. I talked to the CSO and I said, you know, this just doesn't seem right. They've been feeding it, they've been housing it, they've been taking it in, and she said, well, our ordinance says an owner doesn't state what an owner is.
Well, with our contract with them,
so
don't they have to give us a call and say we've got this dog here?
Supposed to give us a report.
Yeah.
And see,
so
we
never
didn't,
got one.
We
nothing.
Didn't get notified until.
And I showed Sherry the type of report we should have got. We never got nothing.
And it, I believe that impounded was the 4th or 5th of May.
5th, and they called you what,
and
the 12th?
And they called me the 11th of May.
11th.
And said, your 5 days are up. Do you want us to put the dog down, or do you want us to hold it another 5 days?
We had no.
Well, you should call the CSO and say, what are you going to do with your dog since you hauled in? I wouldn't pay that.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Well, if worse comes to worse, and if we do have to pay it, is there any way we can charge them, say, on their water bill or something for it?
Taxes.
I don't know.
Because then we can threaten to shut off their water bill if they don't pay it.
So we can't kind of then tie it to water.
Yeah.
Thought, but.
That there sounds like that's.
I mean, the thing I can do is call Countryside and say, you know, we've discussed this issue and we think this bill should be sent to the person that brought it in.
Yeah.
That's how I feel.
That sounds reasonable. I don't know. I don't necessarily think it's the city's responsibility, although...
If you had a dog a month...
And I questioned, too, they say it's a stray. I questioned, I said, did they say where the stray came from? Did it come? Because I was not aware of any stray running around town.
So they're going to make an ordinance and that
so
says...
Like, did this stray come from...
If you have a dog more than 24 hours, you own it? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Any dog that's wandering around town, it ends up in my yard at some point in time. Because I have two other animals that are going to attract it to it.
Yep.
And they run around like this.
And being that they never even notified us saying that, hey, you got a stray dog here, in 5 days you're going to get a bill, you got to let us know. And they didn't. And the CSO should have, I mean, they're supposed to work with the cities. And then
and supposed to file a report.
Yeah. And he didn't even do that. Well, I'm sorry. That bad's going to mean that they're going
to... Remember, I came in one day and they told me this story and I said, you tell them we ain't paying it. And then, haven't heard nothing, haven't heard nothing, and then what, a month later?
Yeah,
they send a bill now.
That was May 11th.
Well, contact them tomorrow.
Okay.
Anything else?
Always entertaining.
Anyways.
I'll move to approve the one added attachment in May. It's $109. It was added to check 7398. And check number 7399. 17420. For a total of $30,475.20.
Motion made and seconded to approve the one hatch payment. And checks number 17397 to 17420, total of $30,475.21. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. June claims.
Will this one be 17451?
Yes.
Yep.
So I move to approve the four cash payments, check number 17421 to 17450, for a total of $28,416.70.
For a second.
Second.
Motion made and seconded to approve the four cash payments, check number 17421 to 17450, for a total of $28,416.75. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. We'll move on to the City Council report.
Do we have to have a motion for that donating the use of the community center for that benefit that Brad was talking about?
We did that.
That was in the consent agenda.
Yep.
Flyer.
Mr. Bob.
I've got nothing.
Mr. Bob.
Nothing here.
And Mr. Kiddish.
Good time this weekend. Hope the rain stay away. Have a good summer fest and eat ribs.
You gonna cook, Steve?
I don't have anything else. So I'm looking for a motion.
So be it.
Second?
Second.
Motion made and seconded to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Yeah, they're talking kind of bad thunderstorms and rain again. Friday, Saturday. Well, that's normal.